If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Spencer, stop with the phone. I'm serious. I'm sick of this.
I'm sick of you. What's your point?
I don't want you controlling my life anymore.
I don't even tell you anything. I don't care what you do with your life.
Oh, really? Like, really? Every day I come home from school with Lauren, and when I want to go to her parties, I don't need from you anymore. This is my life, and you're invading my space, and I want you to leave today.
I cannot wait to leave and get out of your life, because the fact that you even talk to Elsie makes me want to have nothing to do with your life, because it just makes me think how pathetic you really are. So what's up? I'll move out. Shoot, done.
You're calling me pathetic, Spencer?
Please leave. Please leave.
You're living on my couch. Heidi doesn't want anything to do with you.
La 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 la. Go away. I will be gone by the end of the day. Get out of my face.
And now.
La 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 la.
At the end of it all, I'm kind of a douchebag.
Our feature presentation.
First thing I thought was, well, I guess Mike's wearing the shoes. I mean, that's clearly that's what's going on, right?
Not right the second.
Not but, right now, but when it counts.
When it counted, when it right? when,
during prime time, they were strapped on.
Yeah. Thank God, because things would have gone way differently had you not been.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have they won 6 playoff games in a row?
I think that's still up for debate. Actually, if the shoes won the...
You know what isn't up for debate? The fact that they've won 6 playoff games in a row.
Yeah, there
the
is that.
The Lakers did. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Don't know about
shoes. I don't think Kobe would even be MVP if it weren't for Mike's tennis shoes, to tell you the truth.
He called me and told me that.
He'd barely be... I think he wouldn't make the NBA. He wouldn't be in the league if it weren't for Mike wearing the tennis shoes during games.
After the presentation of the trophy on the court, before the game, he ran out. He ran off. He's like, let me call someone real quick.
Did he?
Yeah.
And who was it?
He called me.
Kobe called you to say thanks.
There.
Hey, thanks. I'm sorry.
He said, hello there, Mike. Thank you for wearing the shoes. All right, gotta play the game real quick.
What were you there last night, Mike?
I was not, no.
But you still wear the shoes, so it still counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know how that worked either, if you had to wear the shoes in the building.
That's the first Laker playoff home game that I've not gone to. And
weren't you worried about you were going to screw it up somehow by not being there with the shoes in the house?
I'm actually not that superstitious a guy. I know that sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Because we're talking about my shoes. But last night, actually, for the first time it set in, I got this weird feeling like, uh-oh. Wait a second. They've been on this streak, and I've been going to every game. And, now, if my family's going and I'm not going, are they going to lose? Is it going to be my fault?
Right. That doesn't sound like words that would come out of somebody who were super.
I know. I think I'm turning into that guy. I think it's this magical season that's transformed me.
Or have you now learned since you weren't there that it doesn't really matter at all what you do and the Lakers were going to win or lose with or without you?
I would say that if I didn't have my special Lakers Converse weapon strapped onto my feet during the entire game.
The only way to check that is for him to not wear them.
Yep.
Maybe and just see how it goes, but that's irresponsible.
Maybe just take off one shoe.
Well, no, wait. If there's a time to do it.
That way it'll be a close game.
Yeah. If there's a time to do it, should I do it now when they're up 2-0? Or should I wait? If they get up 3-0, I'll give it a shot. Is that fair?
I don't think you want to test it out during the playoffs. Not that I'm superstitious, but maybe next year at the beginning of the season.
Next year, it's a tough decision.
No, I see what I'm saying. Like, you're not a superstitious guy either, but at the same time, you're like, well, let's just not try it out during the playoffs.
What's the downside of not trying it?
Why don't we just keep this going?
I mean, the other way is that, God forbid they lose, and you were wearing the shoes, you would also know that was,
That's true,
something else.
I love statistics in sports. I really do. And I always think it's interesting. For instance, after last night's game, I saw that there have been 211 NBA teams that have gone down the first two games of a best of seven series. Okay. How many of those have come back and won that series?
I don't know. I would guess it would be a very small number.
11.
Good guess. 13. Yeah. 13 in history have done it. One of those teams that did it was the Utah Jazz last year in the playoffs. When they went down 2-0 to the Houston Rockets and came back and ended up winning the thing. So, they haven't given up yet because they know they're capable of doing it. But the numbers are certainly in the Lakers' favor particularly when you then factor in Mike's shoes.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't know about the shoes, that's a big variable they're not aware of. If they knew Mike had the shoes, they would give up. They wouldn't even try.
And what continues to confuse me, and I haven't heard an acceptable explanation of Mike or anyone, is what if there's somebody who also has a Lucky Charm on the Jazz side that we're not aware of? Can he counter what Mike's doing, or does Mike win automatically?
No, listen, I did explain this, and you're dumb for not listening to me. Listen.
I'd like to say you did explain it, and he's not dumb for not listening to you. Listen, both of those are true.
It's not one Utah Jazz fan versus me. It's all of them versus all the Lakers fans. And clearly, the Lakers fans are working in concert together as a team, and we're all doing our part. A couple of the Utah Jazz fans happen to be falling off. That's clearly what's happening here.
Okay. All right, last question on this then. Does what the players in the game do on the court matter at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only in that they're following the rules that Mike sets out by wearing the shoes.
Yeah, okay. And only because, I mean, they can only play as well as the vibes that they're given. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we go out there and we're not wearing the right shoes, and the guy in section A-135, seat number 4, is wearing the wrong shirt, and the guy in row 313, section 7, is wearing the wrong baseball cap.
And they have to fight that negative energy.
They're gone. I mean, they're destined to lose. You know what I'm saying? It's their fault.
Here's another great stat for Coach Phil Jackson, by the way. In series where he's won the opener of the playoff series, he is 39-0 as a head coach.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, no kidding. So the Lakers, I guess, and before them the Bulls, if they win the first game of a best-of-seven series, they've got a pretty good chance of winning the series, it sounds like.
Let me say something about Phil Jackson. During yesterday, no, 2 days ago. When,
Gimp? You mean old Gimpy?
When Dr. House, when they announced that Kobe was going to be the MVP, Phil Jackson got up and spoke. And Phil Jackson says the words, "I've never known someone who deserved this award more. I've never known somebody who's worked harder at being a good basketball player." And immediately the first thing that set in was, didn't you coach Michael Jordan during the bulk of his greatest years? And it was just like that comment was the weirdest thing. Not to get too in-depth with sports stuff, but
that's a pretty strong comment from somebody who coached Jordan
during his most dominant era.
During their 6 championships where Jordan worked his ass off every single night and was the best player in the history of the game.
Well, I mean, that statistic doesn't take into account one of the Bulls fans that was wearing shoes.
Ah, that's true.
You know, I mean, that's you can't really put your finger on that.
Right.
Well, it's good times for Laker fans, I guess.
Yes,
that's the point. Thanks to Mike.
Thanks to Mike. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, guys.
Very cool of you to do that.
All right, last question for reals this time. When the series goes back to Utah, does it matter what you do here if you're not even in the same state? I mean, can you still affect it even if you're at home watching it on TV in California?
Dude, if you have to ask.
I'm sorry. I know it sounds like a dumb question. I just want to make sure I understand the rules.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wore them when they were in Denver, and look what happened.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Just want to make sure I knew.
It's all part of the grand scheme.
Congratulations, Mike.
Ready to go,
You'll need the morning off of the parade, right? If they have the championship parade during our show, you're going to need the morning off to be there.
Grand Marshal.
Of course.
No, you just the shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I just put them on a
double-decker bus and just drive them around downtown. These are the shoes that won us.
Let people worship.
The championship. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday the 8th of May. I see them.
Hello. Those are my breasts.
And on today's Kevin and Bean Show, Rob Corddry.
Oh, I'm excited.
Very
about
funny
that.
Guy.
Very funny.
Works on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart and is in this new movie, What Happens in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have him in the studio.
And he works on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Yes, he does. He does both of those, mainly The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is really funny.
Mm-hmm. Emil Hirsch, the star of Speed Racer, on the program today.
No. What?
Speed Racer.
Oh, okay. But not Emil Hirsch.
Wow. So we got him coming up. He'll tell us all about Speed Racer, which, of course, opens up tomorrow.
Yeah.
We got the creators of Lost, I think, are looking for a bit of an apology from a Mr. Ralph Garman.
He did damn them to hell when the series went through its rocky times, that's for sure.
Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse will be on the program today, and they will be accepting apologies from everyone, as they have pretty much righted that ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tease that, the 705. Can't talk about
can't.
That. Bean's blog is banned in China. I don't know if you've seen that. That's a good choice, right? I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, for all the heat the Chinese government gets for the poor decisions they make, it sounds like this is one that you're willing to say,
sure,
good job. Right.
A high five on this one.
Yeah.
Doc on the Rock has that little open teeth show that he does on Sunday mornings.
Open line.
Open teeth.
Open line.
Right.
And he's not good.
Apparently had a meltdown, and the K-Rock listeners tipped us off to the fact that we had to get the tape, and we did.
Here's why he's not smart, though. He actually said on the air, I hope Kevin and Bean don't get a copy of this.
Which is like putting the bat signal in the sky. Right. It's just like calling us at home and saying, hey, guys, you might as well get the tape.
To our listeners, that's an invitation.
Absolutely.
Oh, that needs to happen. So that's going to happen today. And don't forget K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta tickets every hour on the hour. That, of course, is Metallica, The Offspring, The Raconteurs, Rise Against, Pennywise, Bad Religion, The Bravery, and a whole bunch more. And we'll give you those tickets. And we'll also let you earn them by playing a game in the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, wow.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beatnik.
One note, by the way, just to address the many emails we're receiving this week that go like this. Hey, guys, I haven't heard the information about when the tickets are going on sale for the K-Rock Mini Roast and Fiesta 2008. Did I miss it? No, you have not. It has not been revealed on the air yet. It will very soon. We advise you to become a K-Rock Street Team member for free. It's very easy. Go to K-Rock.com and keep listening every hour. We've got tickets you can win to the big show coming up a week from Saturday. It's 5:48. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How about those Lakers? Huh?
How about those Lakers?
Thanks to Mike.
Mike Shoes.
I thought they were better this year, and I thought they would get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they would just dominate the way they've just been rolling through.
Pau Gasol, dude. The second Pau Gasol came, it all
turned
around.
Tremendous. Really impressive. Hey, if you have nothing to do Saturday, please join me and Kevin at a very special fundraising event to battle an illness called Duchenne, which is a form of muscular dystrophy that attacks young boys. You can imagine being a parent and having a perfectly normal son, and then around the age of 4, he starts to show some symptoms of perhaps slowing or not being as coordinated as an average 4- or 5-year-old, and then you find out he's got this debilitating disease which actually destroys the muscles in a young boy's body. Most of the patients end up in wheelchairs by the age of 10, and they rarely make it to college age. It's a horrible disease. It doesn't get a lot of attention because it's not as prolific as a lot of diseases, so that doesn't get a lot of funding in terms of research and development from drug companies and stuff like that. So there is this weekend, there's going to be a very special fundraiser. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's not a downer, man, just because it's a BS disease. It's going to be a celebrity poker tournament and casino night held at the Peterson Automotive Museum on Fairfax. And I will be there. Kevin's going to stop by. Also, Anne Heche from Men in Trees. Willie Garson from Sex and the City. Other good people. Kevin Weissman. That's what I'm trying to say. Kevin Weissman, who played Marshall on Alias. It's going to be a great time. Booze, live music, dancing, eating. It's going to be a good time. If you'd like to go, all the details are available. If you go to the Kevin and Bean links page, the link for Dealing for Duchenne is the name of the event, is there on the page, and you can sign up there. So hope to see you Saturday.
Hey, Ralph, isn't Sofia Vergara on that program, Men in Trees?
Yes, she is.
Yes.
She's guest starring.
We need to make a call or two.
Yeah, I know.
She needs to come and go. Because she's pretty young.
Yeah, thank you.
Back to you.
Thank you. Sad news today for all of us who've ever enjoyed ice cream.
What?
Irvine Robbins of Baskin and Robbins.
Yeah.
Has passed away at the age of 80. 90, rather.
Okay.
Think of all the joy Robbins and his brother-in-law Baskin gave us over the years.
Think of the pounds he gave me.
Oh, Lisa, you're always looking at the glasses half empty. How about that first little pink taster they give you? Like, can I try that?
I get you hooked.
Oh, that's good stuff.
You know, I'm a big Baskin Robbins fan as well, Ralph, and one of the things I learned in the coverage this week that I'd never thought about or knew before was why there are 31 flavors at Baskin Robbins. Am I just stupid? Is it obvious?
I know.
I don't know why anyone would care, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, I you look at it and you go, why 31? Why
I
not
think
40?
31 is the combined inches of Baskin and Robbins.
No.
Yeah.
They were both really, really
hung.
Endowed.
Yeah.
That's why they decided to do that.
Lisa, tell the kids why.
Because it's one for every day of the month.
How about that?
Yeah! A month?
I did not know that.
What do you do in February? That's my question. What do you do?
You
skip
gotta
a couple.
Up.
Double up.
Yeah.
You get two scoops in a cup. He passed away at the age of 90. Apparently, he cashed out his insurance policy to start his business.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his life insurance.
Yeah, his life insurance. That's a risky move. You got to have some faith in ice cream at that point.
No kidding. And didn't his partner, didn't Baskin die like 40 years ago or something like that?
1967.
Wow.
He died at the age of 54 of a heart attack.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Too much ice cream.
He was the tester.
Exactly. So if you stop by Baskin Robbins today, they're having a special flavor in honor of Mr. Robbins. Cookies and cremation.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That does not sound good.
Some of that on a cone.
That's
just how tasty.
Yeah. Well, there's a little thing, mystery thing floating around in there. Oh, man. Sure it is. I think it's a little taste of Irvine.
No, thanks.
Taste of Irvine.
It is Mother's Day coming up this weekend, and so there's a lot of BS celebrity stories about mothers and celebrities.
Yeah.
AOL did an online survey for ladies. Pick the celebrity you'd most like to have kids with. So who would you like to hump but have it stick, basically, is what they're asking.
Oh, ouch.
Tom Cruise only got 9% of the vote.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman got 19% of the vote. Will Smith came in second with 35% of the vote. Can you imagine the male celebrity women most want to have kids with?
Well, George Clooney?
Not Clooney. Huh? Not even in the top four.
Oh.
I was going to say, Will Smith makes sense because people do think of him as a great dad.
Seems like a good dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be Brad Pitt, doesn't it?
No, sir. It does not have to be Brad Pitt.
Really? Because he's a great dad, too.
Tom Hanks is a good dad.
Tom Hanks?
Not, he would be a also good, not a choice.
Who's known as a good father?
Hugh?
Chris Benoit.
Yes, nice. Chris Benoit.
Who is it?
Wow. It is Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp
coming with 37% of the
that makes sense too.
Of the vote. Reaching back for a Chris Benoit reference.
But the 1% of the people who got it are laughing right now because it was really funny.
Kids are going to have to Google that and see if you can remind yourself of the story.
Trust us.
Not everybody's happy about the Barbara Walters book Audition, her new biography. I didn't see her special last night. Did anybody?
Nah, I taped it.
They're talking
really
about her life.
I was going to, but then I realized it was Barbara Walters talking about her book.
Yeah.
Apparently, the book trashes Star Jones.
Now
I'm in.
And Star isn't pleased.
Now I'm in.
Barbara mentions that amongst other transgressions, Star also forced all the members of The View to lie for her because Star would never admit she lost a ton of weight using the gastric bypass surgery. Remember when she said, I'm not, oh, no, I did it with health and exercise. Well, I can't talk about it. It's a very personal matter to me. And the other women of The View were like, you did it. We all know you did it. She's like, you can't tell anyone. So they had to lie on her behalf.
Fat girl's fat.
Yeah.
But that's true, though. If it's in the book, it's true, right?
What is true?
Oh, I'm sure it's true.
Who's complaining? I mean, if Barbara Walters said it and that's really what happened, then who's
complaining?
Star Jones is complaining.
Well, screw her.
She's saying that Barbara is trashing her by making her look bad.
Do you have the quote that Barbara said?
I don't have it.
She says something like, we all know it wasn't Pilates and portion control.
Yeah.
She was the original back fat, wasn't she?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yes. She had, like, wings. She had a cape.
Mm-hmm.
She had a cape of back
she
fat.
She did.
I thought she was a superhero when I first saw her. Here's what Star says about Barbara, by the way, at Us Weekly magazine. It's a sad day when an icon like Barbara Walters, in the sunset of her life, is reduced to publicly branding herself as an adulterer, humiliating an innocent family with accounts of an illicit affair, and speaking negatively against me, all for the sake of selling a book.
I admire her for speaking negatively against Star
too.
Jones.
That's the one thing I can get behind.
I mean, look at her. She's got elbow cleavage.
Speaking of body issues, everyone is talking about the cover of the Australian NW magazine featuring Misha Barton. Have you seen these photographs? 22-year-old star, one of the thinnest stars in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I have no idea what's going on in her ass and thighs.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
It looks like she's got scars from being shot with buckshot.
Yeah.
Someone took a shotgun to her.
It's rough.
It's unearthly. It is. It's alien.
She's nothing but bone, and then she's got a lot of that cottage cheese hanging out.
Yeah, apparently Misha's disturbed by the photos and unhappy that they were published.
She should be disturbed by her ass.
She should be wearing some culottes. That's what she should be doing. Culottes. Wearing culottes is what she should be wearing.
That's what she should be wearing.
You can Google culottes along with Chris Benoit when you get around
Is
to
there,
it.
Lisa, I'll ask you, because you know about the women and their exercises and their operations. Is there a way to address the cottage cheese ass? Can she do something to improve?
Other than
not
starting to work out and increasing her... Well, Mike would know this
she
too, but
up,
if she could
right?
increase her muscle mass and stuff, that would help a lot. But there is some genetic predisposition to having cellulite, and thin girls get it too.
Don't show
Mike
it.
Mike was saying yesterday off air he wanted her put down. I mean, he really wanted the police to go in and tag her and
she
then put her
make
down.
Make it better.
Months
she
ago,
could.
I said she deserves to be executed for that because
just because of her physique.
That seems a little strong.
Yeah,
there is this condition called skinny fat, and it only affects women because they think that by starving themselves and doing a ton of aerobic exercise, they're going to have a good look to them.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you will get, women. You will get that look. You'll be a skeleton with cottage cheese draping off your disgusting body. Don't do it. And
thank
I'm
you,
saying
Spencer.
For women, as so they can have a good role model, We should erase Misha Barton from the world.
Wow. That's rough.
I don't think anyone's looking at Misha as a role model.
Yeah. Boy, I sure would like to be like her.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a power sander or some sandblasting, perhaps. I think that might do it.
I don't think that would
spackle. I wish it
spackle. Spackle, maybe, yeah.
How about just a thin coat of spackle?
Yeah, we know.
You know, not since, thanks, Gene Simmons, not since Germany in the 40s has somebody wanted to kill people based on how they look. Yeah. I will give Mike credit for bringing that one back.
It does have a Nazi-esque vibe about it.
A little bit, yeah. That's nice. A little bit of the master race happening coming from the back of the room.
Gary Dorden isn't getting off as easily as he hoped when he got busted with a bevy of drugs last week after Coachella. TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, is reporting that the CSI actor has been charged with 3 felony counts of possession for heroin, cocaine, and ecstasy.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
But I thought he didn't need all those nasty chemicals to have a good time.
That's what he said.
He just need a positive spirit full of love.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And apparently a suitcase full of OxyContin. That's all you need.
Not you know
what did you want the man to do?
Wow. I couldn't make out anything there.
Yeah,
that was bad. Right, hold on. Let's every level.
All right. Bean, you go.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Okay, now you go.
Not
you know,
this time.
We Armenians are like the
n****s, okay? Oh!
All right. There you go. Back to you, Ralph.
Worth it, right?
Back to you.
Everyone's talking about superhero movies now that Iron Man is one of the biggest smash hits on the planet. Talking about the Captain America movie. CinemaBlend.com says the actor with the inside lead to play Captain America, Matthew McConaughey.
Ooh. That's an odd
I don't know
choice.
Anything about Captain America.
I mean, he does look very all-American.
Yeah.
He fly?
No,
he's
doesn't
more
fly.
Manly
doesn't fly.
Than Matthew McConaughey is.
He's sort of a super soldier. He's got super strength and agility and speed and stuff, but he doesn't have like any otherworldly powers.
That's just, a bogus superhero.
Kick ass. He can just kick ass. He's a bogus superhero. He's Captain America.
Yeah,
he fights for our freedom. He fought the Nazis in the 40s.
That's right.
Did he really?
Yeah. How about
realize
that?
He was around that,
how
that
well,
long.
Well, that you would
he's
know.
He's really
then.
Old.
He was frozen in an iceberg, and then the Avengers came along and found him and defrosted him, and that's why he's with us today.
Of course. How could I
suspended
forget all that?
Suspended animation. Ass.
I don't care for McConaughey as Captain America. Do you, Ralph?
No, I think he's, frankly, too old.
Yeah.
I think Captain America's got to be a young buck who, I think they should find an unknown. That's what they should do. Yeah, Psycho Mike, yeah. Captain Nazi America, perhaps.
I'm thinking
not
Seth
Captain
Rogen, that's what I'm thinking.
Mex America, by the way.
Yeah, right. Seth Rogen.
Yep.
There you go.
Jack Black.
And how would you like to see the return of Dirty Harry, speaking of movies? Clint Eastwood has announced he is going to bring back the character for one last time.
He's going to play it?
77-year-old Eastwood will be playing Dirty Harry one last time in the upcoming film Gran Torino. Last of the 6 Dirty Harry movies.
How long has it been? 10 years or more since
88.
The last one?
1988 was
oh
the last
goodness.
Dirty Harry movie, Deadpool. So, 77-year-old.
Don't think I've ever
Clint
seen
Eastwood running around with a Magnum.
One of those movies.
You've never seen a Dirty
what?
Harry movie?
Oh, please, you guys. He's never seen
I don't think
anything.
So.
How have you not seen a Dirty Harry movie?
I don't know.
Those are like the greatest cop films ever.
I don't know. I just.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I mean, I know that line, of course, because.
You feel lucky, punk? You're looking down the barrel of a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. You have to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Come on!
I recognize that line and all, but I couldn't tell you what any of the movies were about or anything.
I've never hated you more than I do.
How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Enrique Iglesias.
Ay, ay, ay.
He's 33 years old today. Melissa Gilbert used to be on Little House on the Prairie. He was also the president of SAG at one time. That's the Screen Actors Guild, not what her butt does.
Yeah, Misha Barton should be the president of SAG now.
Oh, no, you didn't. She's 44. Alex Van Halen of the band Van Halen with his brother Van Halen is sure. 55 years old today. And Don Rickles, funniest comedian in the history of the medium. You don't know, man. Did you ever watch that special I gave you to watch?
I did.
You didn't.
You did.
I
you
did
not.
Watch. Yes, I did.
It's in your backseat, Kevin.
I
come
watched
on.
It.
It is. It's a coaster
and?
At your house.
And
it's got a cup of coffee on it.
The connections that he had were amazing to have Frank Sinatra and people come to your show like that. But a lot of people
you didn't think
funnier.
It was funny?
A lot of people funnier.
Come on.
A lot of people.
No one's had a career that lasted as long and been as sharp as Don Rickles.
Not saying that.
Or did what he does.
Exactly.
Right? Still, there are a lot of people funnier.
Oh.
I don't really even think that's the question.
Wow, you are just incredibly horrible. On every level.
I need to go take a shower and cleanse myself of Kevin.
Oh, that's ugly.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Doc on the Rock and the open mouth program that he has on Saturdays at midnight. What?
Open line.
Open line.
It's Sunday mornings from 5 till 8. What it is it's a public affairs program. I know virtually no one listening right now ever wakes up on a Sunday morning unless they have to that early. But yeah. It is a show about community issues. It's the most boring thing you've ever heard in your life. Mostly Scott Mason. Sometimes Doc and The Rock will do it, though.
Every once in a while, Bean will step in.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've done
You've
it.
Done
but
it?
Bean's done open mouth, sure.
I've done it a few times, yeah. You you know, it gives you the opportunity to grill the Department of Water and Power and stuff like that. That's what's that's what's hot about that show. But they do this is what's weird about it, is they do have some regular callers, some people who call every week. Which
yeah,
is
those
crazy.
People are effing shaky, by the way.
If like one week they're calling about the parks department, and then the next week they're calling about the HOV lanes. I mean, it's just weird, the stuff that they're into.
So Doc is doing the show recently, I guess this past Sunday even. Mm-hmm. And he starts by talking, and you have to understand that there are 6 different buttons you can turn on microphones with.
Yeah.
Doc's the only one in the studio, though. So really just he needs one. He needs one mic. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't turn the right one on and can't figure out what the hell's going on.
K-Rock. Ray Rinosky, Mr. Science. We're on the electric radio here. Hi, it's me, Doc on the Rock. Hope you hear me. I don't hear myself. A typical beginning to this typically ridiculous block of airtime that we call open line.
Okay, so still hasn't figured out that
there's some microphone somewhere.
There is a microphone on, just not the one where he's standing.
Not in front of him.
Right.
How are you? I haven't been live on the radio with you people in a long time.
Wonder why.
It's such an experience.
He's so okay, cranky, God.
Did you hear how loud the door was? Because
yes.
The microphone right in front of the door is open, is on.
So is someone running in to help him? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
Are we on the air? Boy, I sure can't hear myself or anybody else, but that's all right. It always begins this way, and then Kevin and Bean will tape it, and they'll put it on and make fun of me on the weekday show.
Okay, so still wrong mic.
Wrong microphone.
We are now 40 seconds into it. Now, every once in a while, I'll turn on the wrong mic or something, but, you know, within 2 or 3 seconds, you can tell that whoever's talking.
Let me say something, too. The microphone, that the main DJ microphone, the only one that is marked announcer.
Right.
All the rest are mic one, mic two. I can understand mixing up a guest mic. The one that's differentiated from all the rest is the main microphone that he's supposed to be talking on. There's no reason for him.
Yeah, that's the only one that's labeled announcer. The other ones are labeled not microphones, but guest one, guest two.
Right.
I don't know why they're labeled that way, but they are. So then Doc continues.
I don't know why I don't hear myself very loud. I don't know why the meters aren't showing that we are talking very loud.
Because no one's talking into the mic that's on. That's
right.
That's why, Doc.
What would that be? Would that be a problem that I've created?
Yes.
Or it's just the way things are? Tell me, producer.
Okay, so now the producer's in the studio with him, whoever that is, and has no idea either.
Probably not.
So Doc's asking,
just answer phones.
Doc's asking all these questions. What's going on? How come? Tell me, producer.
Now, in Doc's defense, and God forbid, right, but in his mind, he's thinking something is broken. He's thinking, I can't fix it.
Right.
Something is broken, and I have a three-hour talk show to do. It's not like I can play songs, work on it, and come back. I mean, I'm live on the air, and I'm stuck. What am I going to do?
You got me fooled. Anyway, try that.
Okay, minute in now. Full minute.
No, it doesn't make a dang bit of difference. How are you? Anyway.
Now, this is where Doc tries to ignore the fact that his voice isn't on the radio. It's sort of there somewhere. So now, how are you? How is everyone?
Other microphones? Like, has he turned on the other?
Nothing yet, no.
Okay.
No, just the wrong one. No changes.
Okay.
Is your day starting as badly as mine?
Nope.
Oh, Doc on the Rock never gets an even break when he comes in here once a year to do this show. Then tries to figure out why.
Okay, now he's talking about himself in the third person. Oh, Doc on the Rock comes in here every other week.
It's weird. He's talking about never getting an even break as if someone has conspired against him to prevent him from getting on the air. Look, nobody built a moat so you couldn't get it in the studio, right? Really, it's in your hands. All you have to do is hit the button that says
announcer.
Microphone.
Yeah.
Right, announcer.
Yeah, doesn't seem that hard.
He sounds like he's talking in a tin box.
Yes, he does. Who is he that we're talking about now?
Oh, well, let's try, Hello?
You know what?
There it is.
That's why. Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks. The idiot had the wrong mic on. That idiot would be me. Well, that gets the kinks out of the bones and the joints here, and when we can go on with open line. I had to do that. If anybody has a tape of this show, destroy it.
Or
I will maim the person who lets Kevin and Bean have that.
Oh my God.
So that's the open mouth program that you can hear on Sunday mornings.
That's beautiful.
Some of Doc's best work ever. And the K Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2008 is a week from Saturday.
Yes.
Wow.
A week from Saturday. Now
soon.
We have not given you on sale information. We would suggest you become a K Rock Street Team member. And what we mean by that is become a Street Team member. If you want to buy tickets,
if you want a shot at buying tickets to the show, that's what you need to do. And we will, of course, announce when those tickets are going to go on sale. And we are giving them away all the damn time, not just during the Kevin and Bean Show, but around the clock here on the World Famous K Rock. In fact, right now, a little something for you that you can earn the tickets, especially if you are a fan of this year's headliner, Metallica. It's a little game we like to call Rock the Cradle.
Hey, stop crying, you little brats. You signed up for this. You're trading in your baby bottle for a flask of Jaeger. No more mommy boob for you. It's a full hot silicone rack from a groupie. Yeah. You're going on tour with Metallica. It's time to rock the cradle. By the way, your bib sucks. Are you with me, ladies?
Wow, the return of the great Dick Whiskey as we rock the cradle. Now, the way this game is being played, as I understand it, if you're a Metallica fan, you have a pretty good shot at this because we're going to be playing cover versions of Metallica songs as if they were recorded as lullabies for your baby. Do I have that right?
Yes, they actually have these CDs out, and I didn't know this. I forget where I was, Best Buy or someplace.
Best Buy!
And I saw, like, lullaby versions of Metallica, and I was like, what?
That is bizarre.
I mean, if you're going to play songs for kids, go ahead and use Metallica, I would think. I don't get that. But they play them like a little lullaby version of the song. But it is a Metallica song. So you just have to basically give us the title of the song, and then you'll go into the drawing. Shane in Redlands, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You ready to play Rock the Cradle?
Ready.
All right. Here's a Metallica song. Tell us what it is.
Just like the record.
It does, actually.
Pretty easy.
Is that Nothing Else Matters?
Yes. Nicely done. Forever trusting I prefer this version to the little kid one. But
Okay, so Shane is in the drawing. Let's try Freddie. He's in Upland this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Freddie, you ready to rock the cradle?
Yeah, I'm ready. Screw that guy. He had a geek about it.
Okay, let's see how you do.
All right, what's the title?
Unforgiven?
Sorry.
How about Enter Sandman? Well, Freddie's quick to say screw Shane, yet he just botched the easiest and the biggest Metallica song of them all. Well done. Let's try Greg in Riverside. A lot of 909 and 951s out there this morning. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Hey, what's up, boys? Freddie, you suck.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Let's see how you do. Let's rock the cradle with a lullaby version of a Metallica song.
I hope these people aren't making any money on this. This is a horrible project. Greg.
Figures. Let's go one.
Yes! Oh, my breathless, I wish one day. Well done. You are in the drawing, my friend. Well done. Good job. Whoops, wrong button right there.
All right, let's go to Peter in Canoga Park. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, guys.
Have you known all the songs so far?
Yes, I have.
Pretty simple, right? All right, here you go. Yep. Here's your lullaby from Metallica. Tell us what the song is.
sounded awful, but I think it's Nothing Else Matters.
No. That was the first one that we had. That was the first one. This is... Never free,
never me.
That's what we're looking for. All right.
You know, you listen to these and you realize how great the melodies are for Metallica songs. You know, take away the rock that you love, take away the voice that you love, you still have great melodies that you can hear.
But stop playing them on these, what do you call the little instrument with the little hammers?
Xylophone?
Yeah, stop doing that, people. That instrument needs to die. Juan, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for your song?
I'm ready.
Here you go. It's a Metallica lullaby.
That is Wherever I May Roam.
It sure the hell is,
as a matter of fact.
A lot of Metallica fans out there trying to win tickets as they headline the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2008. Up next is Joseph. He's in Antelope Valley. No chicks, by the way, even trying for this game. Mm-hmm. That surprises me because I know there are a lot of ladies out there who love the Metallica, but not this morning.
Joseph, hey.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. You ready for your Metallica song?
Sure am.
There you go.
It's all you, Joe.
How about Turn the Page?
No.
Oh.
Fade to Black.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, we should say, ladies and gentlemen, Metallica, and then bring these people out. That'd be awesome. They would just get destroyed.
If you want to see death. All right, I think we have time for just one more. Brandon is in La Crescentia. Hey, Brandon, how are you?
Pretty good. Hey, what's up, man?
Hello, Brandon.
Ready to rock the cradle?
Good luck.
Yep.
Here you go.
Sounds too creepy to be a lullaby, by the way. I'd be nervous if I were a little kid and heard that song in the nursery.
Yeah.
All right, what do you think, dude? What Metallica song are we listening to there?
I have no idea. I'm going to go with Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Well done. Was that as much a stab in the dark as it sounded like?
No, I had no idea. I just took a guess.
So, wow. No. Well, that was correct. Yes. It was Master of Puppets. Congratulations.
All right. So we got Shane, Greg, Juan, and Brandon, right? All four of them in the drawing. Lisa May is going to pick a winner. Who gets their tickets for Saturday, May 17th at Verizon, the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2008?
It's Brandon and La
Crescentia. No, boo. He just took a guess.
I know. I'm really sorry.
Brandon.
Yes.
You win.
Damn it.
Thank you.
Tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2008, Metallica, The Offspring, The Wrecking Tours, and more. And thank you for playing Rock the Cradle.
Rock the Cradle!
Let me tell you why I love living in America. Because anybody has the right to say anything they want.
And freedom of speech, man.
Freedom of speech.
Even people who are wrong and shouldn't talk get to.
Right. But I've now decided I'm moving to China because they seem to have some common sense going on.
China, all the government does is restrict freedom of speech and freedom of the press. They decide everything you get to do and say.
Right. And that has its downfalls.
How is that better?
That has its negatives.
Sure.
Right.
But sometimes it protects people.
Exactly.
But you speak out against the government there and they put you in jail, Kevin. That's not what you want.
What I would want in this case.
All right, what's going on?
Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
What? What are you talking about?
Apparently, if you're in China, Beans blog is blocked.
What happens if you click on stronglywordedletter.com?
You
nothing
cannot
comes out?
Read that. It's been blocked by the government.
Wow.
Why hating on Tater Tot?
How smart are they?
They read that and said,
yes.
We are not exposing our people to this.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
we care too much.
And I think they're making the right call.
I do too.
Gotta be honest.
What's the deal? The Chinese would enjoy my stories.
Nope. They apparently have decided that they won't, and they're not going to.
They're subversive.
Yeah. Well, we asked producer Alex to light us up somebody to find out what can possibly be the problem with the blog. And the Minister of Internet Content is on the line. Is this Mr. Sum Young Wang?
Hey, Ron Dye, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
How you doing, what devil?
Well, Mr. Wang, I've just received some very bad news that my blog is not available in your country, and I don't understand why.
I don't know where your blog is. Give me a name. I'll look it up.
Okay. It's stronglywordedletter.com.
Okay, strongly worded letter. Is that letter with an R?
Letter with an L.
Letter with an L. Oh, yeah, we blocked that.
Well, that's what I'm finding out, but why? There's nothing against China in that.
My computer here said because it's incredible stupid.
Really?
It would make a country dumber if they read it. Yeah. It would suck intelligence out of their brain.
But most of the sites on the internet are just for fun. They're stupid. They're not supposed to make you smarter. Yeah. They're just entertainment.
Our computer says this one's the worst.
Out of all of them?
Out of everything on the internet. I have a computer here. We monitor everything happen on the internet.
I see.
Okay,
and we rank them best to worst. You are worst.
Wow.
It's the worst. Am I below Sustainable Dave?
He has 9 times the quality of yours.
Wow.
Oh, now that just hurts.
What about,
that would really hurt.
What about NAMBLA? That's okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, good. That's less dangerous than the stupid blog.
Well, do I just get a, is it a pass-fail deal, or can you give me some direction as to what it is about my blog that made you guys block it?
I give you some of the stories that came up that red flagged it for us here. That's why we stopped it.
Okay.
Right. That'll help.
Apparently, you do a whole thing on QVC.
What? I did write a story about the QVC shopping network this week. That's true, yes.
Let's talk about QVC.
Yeah, that, why?
You take up internet content talking about the history of QVC, television shopping network.
Yeah, interesting facts is what that was about.
Not interesting facts.
Some Young, we are with you on this. That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Here are some fun facts from the article. He says, how many you know? What does QVC stand for? Stand for go kill yourself.
Yeah, who cares?
How many sales did they have in 2007? Take a guess.
I was surprised by that answer. That's all. $7.4 billion QVC sold last year. That's remarkable.
Shut up and kill yourself. What number of people have auditioned to be a QV host last year? Who gives a goddamn? That's why. That's one reason we say shut up.
Yeah, that's the right choice, too.
Oh, this is a good one. This is my million-dollar idea, number 4. I had a doctor's appointment the other day and got into a conversation with the receptionist about how rough Mondays are for most people. Can you imagine that poor receptionist?
Wow, what a bad conversation.
Being stuck in a room with Bean talking to her.
Hey, Mondays suck, huh?
Boy, those Mondays. Are you with me?
How about that?
Mondays, people?
Oh, Mondays are bad,
hey,
right?
How about that airline food? That's so bad.
But some Young Way, I was talking about how 4-day work weeks, the longer work day for 4 days would be so much better for so many people, not just because you get a 3-day weekend every weekend, but you save energy that way. That was the point of this post there.
Let's talk about how great 3-day weekends are. There should be more of them. Shut up! Listen, asshole!
If
Tuesday was the first day to work week, then Tuesday would suck for everybody.
Yeah. Well, there is that.
It don't
of course.
Get any better.
There is
but
that.
You'd have 3 days off, which would be way better than just having two. And
but
you'd
first
save
day of the week would still suck. That never changed.
Yeah.
Whatever first day, it sucks.
Let's say it's
even
Wednesday.
Chinese know that.
That would be bad.
And we read upside down, sideways.
You know, Minister Wang, I could send you this.
Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
We should seriously look at the idea of the 4-day work week. Ooh, how come no one has ever thought of that before?
I'm just saying,
no
with the energy crisis,
at that idea.
It's time to revisit it. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, get out of the house. Meet some people.
You think?
Hey, this is all so sad news. My cow is sick.
Uh-oh. Well, she was very sick. She had pneumonia last week.
This is Betsy, a rescue heifer who was already around the age 20 when we adopted her. You adopt a 20-year-old cow. Oh, I'm surprised. I cannot feel well.
I just tried to save her, tried to give her as much of a happy life as I can. That's
it's
all I'm doing, Minister.
It's an elderly cow. How could you be surprised?
Well, you still hate to see them get sick. Come on, you know that.
There is a picture of Bean's wife reading a book to the cow.
Really?
Yeah, I was wondering, is your wife retarded?
She's just spending a little time with Betsy, trying to make her feel better.
But is she retarded?
Well, no.
I see her, she's reading a book to a cow.
She's just just trying to cheer the cow up.
She's like mentally ill, right?
How does she know reading to a cow is what will cheer up a cow?
No, it won't. They don't understand any word you say.
It's just the companionship. It's just the soothing quality.
Is she retarded?
Oh, no. She's just trying to help. She's trying to make her feel better.
Is she hit in the head by the cow at some point?
No, she's trying to make her feel better. That's all.
Maybe she should be.
Wow. So more or less of Bean's blog is what you're recommending for your country.
Well, there's one part actually we like a lot.
Oh, okay.
Oh, here we go.
Tater Tot Friday.
Thank you very much.
That's where Bean puts a picture of his dog on that blog every week.
Yeah, every Friday. That's right.
And Bean claims that's a runaway best hit. I mean, everybody.
It is.
Well, I can believe that because this dog looked delicious.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. All right, with some mustard and mayo.
How dare you?
Some baked Lays.
Is that a menu?
Can you eat baked Lays with dog? With the
baked
dog
Lays is the best with dog.
They are, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Minister.
I ate it wrong.
Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
Hey, I'll do a lullabies album of Metallica songs for kids. That'd be cool.
That's a bad idea.
Coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. They are the geniuses behind the TV show Lost. Back with a new episode tonight. We'll be talking to them. Plus, Speed Racer himself, Emil Hirsch, is going to be joining us also coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Plus, a story Kevin's going to try to get on the air, and I will do everything I can to stop it. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
The guy who's been stalking Uma Thurman is going to jail for a month.
A month.
A month.
Jack Jordan, 27-year-old dude who's a little nutty for Uma, apparently began obsessing over her when he was in high school. He emailed her parents and threatened to commit suicide if he wasn't able to get her phone number from them.
Wow.
If I was Uma's dad, I'd go, all right, deal. No number.
Call me back when it
turns out. Apparently, Jordan was put away when he traveled to Manhattan, started repeated visits to Uma's home in Greenwich Village, and used to slip notes through her mail slot.
Dude.
That's bad.
Did he ever leave her a nutty buddy?
I don't believe he ever did that. That's just too crazy, even for Jack Jordan.
Yeah.
I can't believe after you guys had breakfast with him, then he went off to stalk with Uma. That is just ridiculous.
No, no, no.
That is out of line.
Our guy was Jordan.
You
should
have had a chance. When you had it, you should have talked to him.
Different
and said,
guy.
You're really, it's not appropriate what you're doing, Jack.
Ralph, different guy. Our breakfast guy was Jack Johnson. This guy's Jack Jordan. Not the same.
Oh, I got an apology to make. I just sent Jack a really nasty email.
Oh, no.
Why
did you do that?
Out of line. Gary Dorton isn't getting off as easy as he hoped after being caught with a bevy of drugs after Coachella last week. Apparently, he's been charged with 3 felony counts of possession for heroin, cocaine, and ecstasy. Gary's released a statement last weekend, you may remember, saying that all his drug tests came back negative. So he thought he'd be fine.
Right.
Turns out he still can't carry around a bunch of heroin and ecstasy and coke.
It was one of the weirdest stories ever because he was saying, oh, you don't need chemicals to have a good time.
You don't need those nasty chemicals to have a good time. Just need good music, good friends, and a spirit full of love. And a nose full of blow.
You just have to know it's in the car in case you need it.
And a vein full of horse. He later added.
You know, he's a brother. With most brothers, you know how it is in this country. We got to struggle, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Right. Speaking of drug use and celebrities, Amy Winehouse is in trouble again.
No.
Hard to believe. She was arrested yesterday in connection with a video that was shot in January, which shows her doing drugs at a party held in her London home. This is what I love, once again, about the British justice system. Amy was questioned by police and then sent home. You've got video of her doing drugs in her house. I say, Amy, are you using drugs? No. Very well, on your way. Just had to look into it. Cheerio. Pip, pip.
Two thoughts. Either they can't prove what she was shown snorting or shooting or whatever. They can't prove from a video whether it was actually drugs or not.
Right.
Or they were blinded by her beauty. They
That's
just couldn't
true.
Think yeah. of anything else because she's so gorgeous, you just want to give her everything she wants.
That's probably what it was. And sad news this week. Co-founder of Baskin-Robbins Ice Cream, Irvine Robbins, passed away Monday here in Los Angeles at the age of 90. As you can imagine, hugely successful businessman. He and his brother-in-law, Burton Baskin, started the business after World War II and hugely successful.
Mm-hmm. Plus one of the Robbins brothers. A lot of people don't know that.
No.
And two businesses going same time.
Very different and diamonds. Guy.
To celebrate, if you stop by Baskin-Robbins today, you can pick up their new flavor, Obituberry.
No, you did.
You can have a little taste of that if you get the Baskin-Robbins.
Does not sound good.
It's 2 for 4. 2 for 4 with funny flavors for Baskin-Robbins. Obituberry. Today's celebrity birthdays: Enrique Iglesias.
Ay, ay, ay.
Is 33 years old today. Melissa Gilbert turns 40.
Excuse me, Ralph. I hate to interrupt. Is Enrique still with Anna Kournikova? That's a low-profile couple you never hear about anymore.
He is still with Anna, but he has divorced the mole.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Really? They broke up? Oh.
Yeah.
No, you can do that.
Okay. The mole and he have separated, gone separate ways.
That's too bad.
Melissa Gilbert is 44 years old today. Alex Van Halen, drummer for Van Halen. By the way, you saw them in concert,
I did.
Right, this last past tour?
I did.
Alex still has got it, man.
He's a great drummer.
Awesome. Yeah. What a great drummer. 55 years old today. And comedian Don Rickles celebrates his 82nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yep, we're giving away those tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2008. You cannot buy them yet. Please become a K-Rock Street Team member, and you will know as soon as we do when the tickets go on sale. In the meantime, you can win them every hour. Kim Guyan.
Hey!
Yeah, I didn't do a very good job with that name tonight. From West Covina is our latest winner. She just picked him up, so she'll be there a week from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, and we got your tickets coming up in less than an hour here on K-Rock.
All right, you guys get your choice. Woman calls police about fake cocaine.
Okay.
Accused says he was just milking a goat.
I don't like the direction that was headed. Come on.
Or cop in trouble for having sex with a cow.
No.
New.
Yes.
No. Come on. No.
Not just a dude.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
I don't share the fascination that you and others do with the interspecies loving.
I'm not the one doing it, dude.
Exactly.
I know. But
we want to know what's going on in their head.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
Yeah, I just don't...
First of all, let's play the guess what state this happened in.
Oh, that's a good question. Although, I don't think you'll guess because it's not in the United States.
Luckily enough.
Oh, really?
Germany.
Luckily enough.
Germany is a good guess. Everything seems to happen there.
I got to tell you, I don't know where this...
You don't know where?
Moorestown is the city.
Is it New Jersey?
New Jersey? Okay, maybe it is New Jersey then, because that would certainly make sense, yes. New Jersey.
Yeah,
pure discretion advised.
See the New Jersey women you have to choose from. The cow starts to look pretty good.
This is a former police officer named Robert Melia.
Okay.
And apparently he was accused of performing several sexual acts with livestock.
I hate this so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I have
that
livestock.
That cow should have saved herself for you?
No, that's the point. I have livestock, and I think about them the same way, you know, most of us think about our dogs, is it's the last thing in the world that you're thinking about when you're spending time with those animals, is that's just not the relationship that ever, ever, ever crosses your mind.
Due to the nature of the investigation, authorities did not reveal how they uncovered the incidents involving the cow.
Oh, I want to know.
That occurred on four separate occasions.
Wow, that's a
We're
romance.
About to discuss an issue that may not be suitable for children. In fact, it probably is not. And I want to give you an opportunity to turn down the volume.
Yeah, that's a romance. That's what that is.
Yeah. It's not a hit and run.
No. No, this is not like a overnight one-time mistake.
Things are going well.
They rescheduled. That's how good that was going. Remember that story about the dude in Washington State that was on the receiving end of sex from a horse and died?
I do, yes.
In Enumclaw, I do remember that. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Of course, I live in Washington, and it was as a result of that accident that they passed a law for the first time in this state that made it illegal to have sex with animals. It did not exist on the books here until that incident.
Isn't it funny that wouldn't you take for granted that exists in every state in the United States?
Maybe a federal law?
Of course.
And it should, yeah.
But this dude apparently was on the – how can I say this? He was on the receiving end –
okay.
Of some oral communication.
No, he was not. Not on the receiving end.
On the receiving end.
Nope. No.
I'm telling you what I'm reading, dude.
Oh, my
God. I'm not really unfamiliar with the poll.
All right, that's enough.
Four separate occasions, they have proof of this guy who apparently figured out a way to have the cow... do that.
Bean, doesn't your cow love baked goods? Didn't you say that?
Hey, my steer, who unfortunately has passed away earlier this year, yeah, he did. He loved bread and waffles, pancakes, Pop-Tarts, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe.
Why do you ask?
Strap a waffle on you.
Strap a waffle on. Well, that's my question, is how exactly do you talk a cow into that? I mean,
well, they do. There are things they enjoy eating.
Well, look, that's not usually one of them, by the way.
Let's go to Psycho Mike with a Lola story that must involve peanut butter. I mean, come on, Mike, how tough is it?
It's not that big a deal.
I mean, I use that to get my dogs to take pills. I just put peanut it butter? In peanut butter, and they just lap it up. So
yeah.
Well, that's apparently what was happening in this story as well.
But by the way, again, without getting into any kind of specific details here, there's no way it can feel good. The cow is not doing to you what you would want a woman to do to you. The cow would the best the cow could do is lick. Okay,
right,
and. That's not going to – I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever touched a cow tongue.
No.
They're like sandpaper. I mean, they're so – that's how – one of the ways they chew up their food and break down their food is their tongues are super, super rough. It's like a cheese grater.
Oh, like a cat.
Sounds like –
like a cat times 10. I mean, it's yeah. – it is. It's like concrete.
It's so rough, so hard.
Wow,
yeah.
No kidding.
Sounds like someone's tried it.
Well, I've got a lot of experience with cow tongues, but not to blow the belt. I mean,
this
I'm just
program
saying.
Contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Akira Color just called to say there's a video going around on cell phones of this.
Oh, really?
Now, I find that hard to believe. But they do
because you haven't seen it yet? Because somebody would have sent it to you by now?
They do say, I mean, it's horrifying. I'm with you. I only find it extra funny because it horrifies Bean, and that makes me laugh. But
it does.
But how does the guy, how did he first discover that that could happen?
Maybe he got the video on his cell phone.
And said, yes, it's about time.
I could do that. I know a few cows.
You could ask that question of so many of these stories. Your dude a couple of weeks ago who was mounting the umbrella stand hole for his picnic table. At some point, a light bulb went off over that dude's head. And he says, yes, I'm going outside. I'm dropping it. And I'm doing it with the picnic table. Same deal here. The guy's going, I'm feeling a little randy today. What's around? Ooh, look at that sweet big mouth.
Oh, dear God.
First of all,
I'm going to need that clip. Second of all, the part of the story that I haven't told you yet is that he was arrested.
Oh, it can't get worse. Come on.
He was arrested with his ex-girlfriend.
Who was?
He's 36, she's 32, who was, according to the story, somehow helping out. But clearly not in the way he wanted.
Yeah, maybe she could have done more of her part and left the cow out of the equation.
A little bit more of her part and less of the cows.
Yeah, maybe he wouldn't have had to go outside into the barnyard if maybe little Miss Girlfriend had stepped up to the plate. Come on.
She was somehow helping.
Assisting.
Yes.
Well, he obviously
that brought my mind to a complete halt.
Yeah,
he likes it rough.
Yeah, that.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Guys, don't do that.
I think we're all in favor of that statement. We can all agree on that. Don't do that.
I will not do that.
Okay, Lisa's giving us her word.
Yeah.
Mike, you giving us your word?
I promise. So, no, I don't.
No, okay. Mike. Okay.
That's ugly. That's ugly.
Hit it, Steve. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Iron Man is so last weekend, Kevin. The kids are over Iron Man. Nobody cares about Iron Man. Nobody's talking about Iron Man. It's all about the Speed Racer. It's all about the movie that we've all been looking forward to that finally arrives in theaters everywhere tomorrow, and we're so excited to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, back to the Kevin and Bean Show, I should say, Speed Racer himself, actor Emil Hirsch, on the phone with us here on K-Rock. Good morning, Emil.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you again. Boy, you couldn't do two more different back-to-back movies in End of the Wild and Speed Racer, could you?
Yeah, they're kind of strange, huh? It's like one, I'm climbing mountains all day, and I'm in icy rivers, and then the other, I'm locked on a green screen.
We had a great talk with your co-star, Matthew Fox, who, of course, is Racer X in the film, yesterday, and he filled us in a little bit about how you guys really didn't even get to drive race cars. I mean, you think, hey, I'm in Speed Racer. That's all you're going to be doing is driving race cars out there at 100 miles an hour. But there's almost none of that for real, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't actually get behind the wheel of a car the entire time I was in Europe.
Wow.
I saw a commercial and there were cars flying. You're telling me that didn't happen?
You know, it's movie magic.
Son of a bitch.
Movie magic.
But he did explain to us that it is different than any other green screen movie that anyone's ever done before, in that you guys, even while you were filming it, could really have a great idea of what was going on around you, right?
Yeah, they had a lot of pre-visualizations and storyboards and stuff. And I mean, it's got to be the most psychedelic, mainstream kind of blockbuster movie ever made, for sure.
I got to tell you, I was not all that familiar with the Speed Racer story, but as soon as I saw Wachowski Brothers, I was like, well, they did The Matrix, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're those kind of visionaries that you think, I don't even care what the story is. They deserve to have a look because it's going to look like nothing we've ever seen before.
Yeah, I mean, they just love putting together, you know, really trippy stuff that kind of melts brains.
That's a good way to describe it.
Not that I need
it.
That,
that's
but
what
okay.
You're promising, huh?
is there much dialogue in the movie? Because the TV series, of course, was notoriously thin on words.
There's some good dialogue. I think one of the cool things about the movie is that they actually did develop the story a bit. And, you know, there's the whole family, the Racer family dynamic, and John Goodman is really great in the movie, and so is Susan Sarandon and Christina Ricci. And so there's a lot of cool stuff. And then, of course, you got Spritel and Chim Chim, my little brother and his pet chimpanzee.
I don't know who that is. Oh, your Racer's, Speed Racer's little brother and their pet chimp?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. We are fascinated with monkeys on this show, Emil, and I don't know what your feeling is on it before the movie or maybe now that you've spent some time with them after the movie, but is it fun having a chimpanzee? Is it the coolest as we think it would be?
It's unbelievable. It's like having a chimp on set.
Really?
Isn't that such an imaginative description of what it's like?
Oh, that's crazy.
It's like having a chimpanzee, like when you're filming, it's just like that.
What do they get the chimp to do? Does he do more than just sit in the car?
Oh, he does everything. I mean, there's nothing this chimp can't do other than like write a novel. I mean,
well, then he can't do everything, can he?
Well, if you get 100 chimps together typing at 100 typewriters, then
maybe they could
eventually, right? I mean, you have, you know, obviously in the animals in the movies, they got the animal trainer who's off camera who gets the chimp to do stuff. But what kind of cool stuff does he get to do?
He could ride around on his tricycle. He loved doing that. He could, you know, laugh on cue. He could jump around. He actually, on one take, he jumped up and ran over, and I had a big glass of Diet Coke, and he picked up my Diet Coke and started drinking it, and then it was like a big tall glass, and then he like put the glass down and like righted it, and then
that's
like,
awesome.
and then looked at me kind of like punk.
What are you gonna do now, bitch?
yeah, it was literally like bitch.
I swear, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I swear to God, this is true, Emil. There was a time a few years ago that we had to seriously sit down and talk Kevin out of getting a chip. Remember, Kevin, when you were going through
so
that
bad.
Phase, you wanted a monkey so bad,
and it is because you talked him out of it that he still has his testicles today.
Oh,
that's
wow.
True.
Well,
that's true.
Maybe so.
Because seriously, chimps are violent.
Is it true that Chim did what I did, which was just grab onto Christina Ricci's boobs?
Oh, yeah. He was getting some Kobe hang time. He was like, you know, he was getting rim.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
nice. I don't know what that
sure
means, but all right.
Gonna think about that. All right. So it opens up everywhere tomorrow. The Wachowski brothers, who, by the way, you guys are out there working hard. I know you and your castmates are all over the TV. They are notoriously shy. I mean, they really do not talk to the press at all, do they?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're sensitive. They're artistes.
Do they tell you don't, like if people ask about us, don't give any information out, or do they just...
No, believe it or not, they're so cool, they're so mellow. I think they just know that, you know, people are respectful and all that.
Tell us all their secrets then, go.
Yeah, but, you know, now that I'm not contractually bound, no, you know, they're awesome guys, and I think that the movie is really something kind of crazy that people should definitely, if you get a chance, check it out.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I do have one clip. I would like you to tell us what's going on here.
That's
a good clip.
That's Mom and Pop's Racer in bed.
Oh, really? All right. Better than I thought.
I didn't know they had that going on. Speed Racer opens everywhere tomorrow from the Wachowski brothers. As Emil mentioned, it's got a great cast. Susan Sarandon, John Goodman, Christina Ricci, of course, Chim Chim, and Emil himself playing Speed Racer. Great to catch up with you again, Emil. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Sean K. Rock.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
No, Ralph, I don't think we need you, man. I think only Lost fans in the room right now.
Hey, douchebag. I was requested to be in on the interview by our guests.
Yes. I'm sorry. Only people who like Lost, only people who have stuck with the show, not the quitters, are needed here.
I think your cow needs you to go read a book to it.
Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse are the most beloved and most hated people in the Lost universe because they're the ones who are pulling the strings and are putting us through nothing but torture every single week for an hour, including a new episode tonight at 10 o'clock on ABC. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be back.
Good to talk to you. Now, which of you ran into Ralph and demanded his presence here today?
I did.
That was Carlton.
Carlton, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's your issue with Mr. Garmin, Carlton?
Well, you know, we did endure, I think, a rather dark period on your show.
You did, yes, that's true. Ralph turned.
But then I ran into Ralph at this Jimmy Kimmel event, and he said that he'd come back around, and I was very happy.
I have. The last season, the reason I was so vocal, I think, in my displeasure about last season was that I felt like a jilted lover.
This is so healthy, guys. I really
it is. I feel better getting this off my chest. I invested so much of my heart and my soul into the show, and then I got angry because I felt like I was being cheated on in some way, and I think that's why I reacted so strongly. But I'm happy to say that my TV wife is back this season, and we're more in love than ever.
Well, Ralph, now you know how we feel when you started watching Heroes.
Oh, yeah. That hurts.
Fair enough.
This is a little bit of a therapy session here, isn't it?
Fair enough.
It sounds like this is a really good tortured relationship.
Yes, exactly.
The makeup sex is good, though, right?
Yes.
Ralph, I want you to hold Carl's hand. I want you to look into his eyes, and I want you to tell him how he makes you feel.
I'm going to put all of my criticisms in the I form. I felt a little left down last season.
Guys, you have been great about responding and being aware to fans and what they have to say. I know that you guys, you know, are online and you see the blogs and you read the articles, and you've been real proactive about addressing those concerns. And I don't think most TV shows do that. But I mean, how much does the feedback you get from the audience contribute to the direction that you take the show?
Well, I think it does to some degree. I mean, last year we introduced these characters, Nikki and Paolo, and everyone hated them, so we buried them alive. I mean, we just felt that was the right thing to do.
It's my favorite episode of last year, by the way.
You know, it's a big deal that, you know, what the fans think, because we're fans of, you know, of television ourselves, and we were on the blogs blogging about shows like Buffy and Angel and Alias before we created the show. So, you know, we're incredibly responsive to the fans, and, you know, usually we agree with them. You know, we're fans of the show ourselves, and when we realize it's not working, you know, we take steps immediately to try to rectify the situation.
It's got
to
be difficult, though, because the lag time, I mean, you must be, you know, I don't know how many episodes out in front. You've already got a bunch of them in the can. How do you change quickly?
You know, you just have to be, you know, your own policeman. You know, again, with Nikki and Paolo, as soon as they appeared on screen, we realized, oh, we're going to be in trouble with these guys. So we had already fixed it by the time the audience started hating them.
Oh, I got you.
But,
right.
You know, but there are other things. You know, sometimes the show gets too confusing or it's moving too slow. And, you know, we rely on the fans to sort of give us a sense of what the pace needs to be.
Well, guys, speaking of pace, everyone agrees this year that you guys have come back really strong. What was the internal discussion like amongst the creators in terms of what path you would take to get back to where you are now?
You know, I think the huge key was the fact that we were able to negotiate an end date to the series with ABC.
Right.
Because we were kind of stalling around. We didn't know if our mythology had to last 2 seasons or 10 seasons. And when we finally were able to work it out that the show was going to end in 2 more seasons after this in 2010, then we knew exactly how many episodes we had left, and then we could actually kind of put the pedal down.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, you've raised so many questions over the course of the 3 seasons so far. Certainly all questions are not going to be answered. There are going to be some mysteries that we'll just never learn the answer to, right?
No, we're going to answer every question.
Every single question.
Liars! You are lying!
Yeah.
I mean, as one example, for instance, we used to obsess week after week coming in here the day after Lost aired with what's going on with the numbers, the 4 and the 8 and the 15 and all those numbers. It seems like that hasn't been on the show for 2 years, like those numbers just evaporated like they don't even matter. Is that something that one day you'll go back to?
They will be back in the finale.
Wow. Okay. So you guys still love the numbers. You're still all right with that.
We're obsessed with the numbers.
Okay. All right. How about the Dharma Initiative? That's something else that seems to have kind of fallen off the radar quite a bit.
You know, you're exactly on the right track. The Dharma Initiative is going to be huge in the show soon.
And season 5 is going to come roaring back in a major way.
Yeah. So we sometimes park these things, but we don't forget about them.
You don't forget. All right, good.
Hanzo's going to come back and kick some ass.
Here's another question, because I'm the special ed student in the class. I mean, usually you have to pretty much, when you're teaching a class or whatever, you have to go pretty much with the slowest student to keep them up to date. And every day we would come in and we would talk about Lost, and we had a K-Rock listener named William. He would come on with all these interesting facts, and I would go, wow, didn't think of that. Wow, didn't see that. And then Ralph would give me some insights. I go, wow, I didn't see that. And I didn't understand any of it until it got explained to me, pretty much. How do you know how fast to move and how to keep the super sharp people that are on the internet coming up with all the clues and stuff involved but not lose people behind?
I think, you know, we try to go for the fastest student, and that, I think, is what makes it different than a lot of other TV shows. I mean, we basically assume that everybody watching is intelligent. And
yeah, it's not true. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I. But then what happens is I just act like I know. Oh, you know, yeah, wasn't last night great?
Absolutely. Actually, the network has sort of figured out this thing they do with the repeats now, which is they do, let's like VH1 pop-up videos.
Yeah. So I have seen those, and
it's great.
I swear to God, probably 200 times during that hour, I go, oh.
See, well there you go.
So oh. Kind of lost for dummies.
Exactly.
This is Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse that we're talking to. They are the executive producers of the TV show Lost. New episode tonight at 10 on Channel 7. How many more shows left? We're in May now, so I know Sweeps is going to run out. Are there two episodes or three or how many?
There's an episode tonight, an episode a week from tonight, and then there's the Grey's finale the week after that, and then we have our two-hour finale. So there's 4 hours of the show left.
Oh, that's season. Pretty cool. Okay. And what kinds of what storylines are you going to be most addressing over the course of the next couple of episodes, if you can tell us that at least?
Well, you know, we have a couple of really good romantic payoffs in the finale for the people who don't really care about the mythology.
Yes. Right. Do they love Kate?
And for the people who do care about the mythology, we've got Locke going to the cabin tonight and actually walking inside and perhaps having to chat with its occupants. So we'll see a little more than we've seen in the past there. And,
excellent.
The island right now is getting attacked by these nasty guys with guns. So, you know, Ben and Locke have been forced to team up and try to figure out how to repel this threat.
And we've still got some people trapped on the boat as well. Some
oh,
of my
right,
friends
the boat,
ours.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, right.
We should probably do something about that.
Yeah. You know, guys, I got to tell you, the strength of the show this season, I think beyond the fact that the plot really has just blown up and you have all these different elements working, is the emotional development and strength of the characters in the four flashes and the flashbacks with Michael and Jack and what they're going through. I mean, last week's episode with the romance between Kate and Jack and watching Jack start to crumble around the edges. Just terrific television.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
And if I could add to that, I don't know how many times you've figured out a way to do it, but Kate back in the shower last week, ladies and
gentlemen. Yeah, that's where she
like
should
20,
be.
20 times they've figured out a way to get her in the shower. I don't know how they do it, but
isn't
it's
a bell
impressive.
Supposed to ring when you talk about that?
Yes, yes. Fact. Bring yeah. it up.
I thought it was going to be Bobby Ewing from Dallas saying the whole thing was a dream when they opened the shower door.
Now you caught us.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to tell you, I imagine that you both bring every script to the set and go, all right, Kate in the shower? And she's like, no, all right.
You know, we're in L.A. and they're in Hawaii, so we actually never get to see that.
I like that. Well, they're doing more, for God's sakes, people.
Let me ask you one more thing, guys, and I really, and this is what's great about the show, is there are so many characters and also so many characters that you really have seen a lot of and you have an investment and you care about, but you guys are not afraid to kill them. I mean, that's one of the things that's great about your show is, you know, like Rousseau and, you know, and that guy, whatever his name is.
Carl.
I mean, you were,
Carl,
Carl. You had no qualms about cutting them down, and you've killed a lot of people off on this show, and I'm sure you have more to kill still ahead.
Well, and I think for us, that we want the stakes to feel real. I mean, if somebody puts a gun to Billy Peterson's head on CSI, I don't think he, you know, the trigger's going to get pulled.
Right.
And, you know, that's how we make, I think, the we create the tension that drives the show.
Do you guys ever catch yourself in the middle of recognizing maybe you haven't addressed something, that something has slipped past you, and then you have to deal with it on the show?
We actually keep sort of like this master list of unanswered questions, and every once in a while a question sort of percolates up to the top of the list that we think that we've already answered and have to address again.
Oh, because last week I loved the moment where it's always bugged me that I thought, you know, Locke can walk on the island, and Rose is cured of cancer on the island. How can Ben get a tumor on his spine if he's on the island? Shouldn't he be healthy too? And then when Jack started to come down with something, I said, how can Jack get sick? The island takes care of people.
Unless you're not in communion with the island, perhaps.
And then Rose said, how can he be getting sick? Because
the island is like a woman. It's very fickle.
Yeah, that bitch.
Well, I'm glad to see, Ralph, that you and Carlton have made up. And if you guys want to go out on another date, Kevin and I will be happy to pay for it.
Hey, and let me ask you guys another question, because I'm sure this is a constant problem. Is it too late for someone to get involved in Lost? Because I imagine the answer would have to be yes, but is there a place they can go to kind of catch up on everything? Or?
Well, you know, all the episodes are posted on ABC.com, and frankly, in our opinion, the best thing to do is get the DVDs, because you can watch them at your own pace. And I think it's actually a great time to get caught up, because there only are
34
episodes left, so you can jump in and then experience the end of the show.
We need a Lost channel. We need ABC to come up with a Lost cable channel where they just show Lost all the time, and then there's just
one
half
after
hour panel discussions where people sit around and talk about it and figure out what the hell just happened.
People can just call Ralph and he'll fill it.
Exactly. I'm going to start having a support group.
Congratulations, guys. I know we speak for a lot of fans listening right now for bringing the show back to its greatness. Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, executive producers of Lost, again, a new episode tonight at 10 o'clock on ABC. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thank you. Bye now.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I would imagine in a hotel, it's the concierge who get the concierge. That's right?
Concierge.
Thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
I am not a professional broadcaster. It's 7:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Rob Corddry, he funny, coming up next after the news at 8. First, Rob's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's happening?
I got the concierge. I got to go to the restroom. Like, I got the concierge.
That sounds like an itch in my pants a little bit, yeah.
Like a commercial for a new medication. Do you get the concierge? Well, you're not alone. A lot of men run to the bathroom all the time. How good was Rob Corddry in Semi-Pro, by the way?
Creepiest sex scene ever in the history of movies.
I didn't like him much. I thought the rest of it was good.
Oh. He's in the next room.
Oh, he was great. I'm just kidding. I know he's there.
Loved him as Kyle the super fan, sneaking back into the house.
I love everything he does.
Yeah,
he's funny.
It's a little creepy.
Sad news this week. Irvine Robbins, co-founder of the Baskin-Robbins ice cream stores, passed away this week at the age of 90. Quite a success story. He got out of the service after World War II. He cashed in his insurance policy that his dad had given him after his bar mitzvah and started up a little ice cream shack with his brother-in-law, Burton Baskin.
Burton Baskin?
Burton Baskin and Irvine Robbins.
Those are some dorks.
He passed away at the age of 90 this week. In celebration of his life's work, you can stop by the Baskin-Robbins store today and try their new flavor, Mocha Morgue.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mocha Morgue.
Yeah, you can test that out.
Seems negative.
Ralph certainly has a lot of imagination.
He certainly does. New postage stamp this week goes on sale. Next week, rather. Tuesday goes on sale. The Frank Sinatra stamp.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't wait. I'm going to get me an ass full of those.
Why would you put them in your ass?
I'm not literally going to put them in my ass.
So he's been dead 10 years already, then.
Yeah. The only byproduct, they say, if you try to lick the Frank Sinatra stamp, he punches you in the face.
Is that right?
Yeah, that would be bad.
Because it's flimsy to do that.
It would be flimsy.
Yeah.
By the way, first-class stamps going up again next week. Raising the price.
Yes.
Again.
Raising 42.
The price. Raising the price. Sticking it to us once again.
Everything else is
good. Best deal in America.
Freaking
best deal
post in America. Office. I'd like everyone in the post office to hack up a lung.
Ralph's saying that not because he hates the people who work at the post office as much as Bean's love for the post office, which drives us all crazy.
I love the post office.
Well, I go
every day.
He tries to go every day. He really does.
I enjoy the post office very much, and I'll say to you again, at 42 cents, you tell me any other way to get a letter from here to Maine in a day, through a couple of days. Tell me, how do you do it? 42 cents. That's a phenomenal
pretty strong
deal.
Arm. Tie it to a helium balloon, release it.
I mean, it costs that much in gas to drive, 3 miles. How do you get it all the way across country for 42 cents? It's phenomenal. It's the best deal in America.
He's so excited about a free
stamp. I'm just
stamp.
Saying.
He is.
I'm saying I don't dislike the post office. It's you. That's what it is.
And okay. Your love for.
And your
understood.
Love for. And also the lines at the post office. They got to hire a few more people.
They're
raising the price of the stamps. They can take on a little more help down there at the post office. Because I'm tired of seeing 9 windows and 2 people behind them. That is some BS
but
right there.
But at least the 2 people are slow.
And at least the line is out the freaking door.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, my mail carrier retired this week. Don't tell me I didn't think about going down there and applying to replace her. Believe me.
How can you replace Bertha? There's no replacing her.
Susie.
Whatever.
Jason Castro got voted off American Idol last night. Surprise, surprise.
I was so disappointed because that guy's the bat.
No, you weren't. He was horrible.
Horrible?
He was horrible.
That was
we're
good.
We're glad to see him go.
Good.
He and Saisha Mercado were in the bottom 2 of the voting. What a surprise. David Cook and David Archuleta looks like they're going to be the 2 guys vying for the title of American Idol. They asked Jason, he's the stoner dude with the dreadlocks.
Yeah. Right.
And they said goodbye to him. He was leaving. And he said... I don't know what I would have done next week trying to learn 3 songs. So apparently he was happy to go home.
He's given up.
So he could just sit on his couch and, is he eat Chips Ahoy's and watch reruns while he's smoking out of his bong.
I don't watch the show, but
no,
it sounds to me like he might be the least interested, contested on that program ever.
I'm not sure he really even knew he was on a TV show.
I think he stumbled
into the studio by accident and somehow ended up on stage.
And he will not get a record deal by any stretch of the imagination. He is done.
No. Unless he's a brilliant songwriter, which I'm guessing is not
the case. Yeah, what are the chances of that?
Because his vibe is sort of like a Jack Johnson-y kind of you know, mellow folk rock guitar surf sound thing. And, like, Jack writes great songs, so he's able to pull it off. But if you're just a guy who sings other people's songs that way, nobody's really that interested. No.
He's a douche.
And there's that.
Exactly.
And there's that, too. Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Don Rickles, one of my all-time favorites, 82 years old today. Sharp, just saw him in Vegas a couple weeks ago. Sharp as a freaking tack at 82.
Amazing.
Most comedians, when they get old, lose any sense of humor that they had about them. You're like, that dude's just not funny anymore. What happened to him? This guy, still at 82, still funny. Alex Van Halen of Van Halen is 55 years old today, one of the great rock drummers. Melissa Gilbert, of course, was Little Half Pint on the Prairie. She's 44 years old now. And Enrique Iglesias is 33 years old. The ladies think he's dreamy.
Yes, they do. So does Mike.
So the boys.
I mean, yeah, ladies dig it.
You with me, dudes? Yeah. He's 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, Bean.
Yeah, what's going on?
That dude from The Daily Show sitting in our studios.
Well, of course he is. We invited him. Actor Rob Corddry joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from the new hit show. Or a movie, What Happens in Vegas, opening everywhere tomorrow. Don't go see Speed Racer. Ignore what we told you last hour when we were talking to Emil Hirsch. Speed Racer is for chubs. You want to see What Happens in Vegas if you're any kind of a man. That's what I'm saying.
No one's going to go see a cartoon that makes you throw up.
Well, that's exactly. That's possible.
This is not my kind of show.
Welcome, Rob. How are you, my friend?
Good. How is everybody?
We are good.
We're very good.
Good.
We're fine, but here's
guy
what
who
I
cares
love.
Too much immediately.
Here's what
morning.
I love. I love that Lisa and Rob are circling each other like past lovers, trying to figure out where they know each other. That's what's interesting going on. That's the dynamic happening in our studio right now.
Yeah, and we figured out that I'm an alcoholic, so I probably
you won't remember.
We had a night.
Could have been anything.
Could have
been a week.
My path is littered.
Who knows? Who knows?
Rob, did you have non-showbiz jobs before you hit the jackpot that Lisa may remember you as, her waiter at a restaurant?
Yeah,
maybe
between tables or something.
I worked at Jekyll and Hyde, a spooky theme restaurant in New York City. And
I love that place.
I was Dreadworthy the Wisecracking Butler. Was that it?
No, that
wasn't
it.
That's You're not a big Jekyll and Hyde fan?
No, that was your only waiting job?
That was one of them. I worked at a place called Bodega.
Wait a minute. You really worked there?
I really did.
Are you kidding?
My job was to wear a tux and insult people.
I know. We've gone there.
Oh,
we broadcast from New York like a year for a long time during the MTV Video Music Awards. And we would go there and it was creepy.
It's
and
stupid.
Lame.
Horrible place.
Really, like, it was supposed to be scary, but way not. Like, way not scary.
Unless you're from New Jersey.
And you worked there.
I worked there for a year.
Awesome.
This is like your stepping stone into acting.
It was. One of my jobs was to work the puppets on the wall. We'd go into a little closet, we'd have joysticks, and we'd talk for the puppets.
And we'd have voices for, like, the Sphinx. Right, and then you'd make fun
of Wolfman Jack.
Make fun of people that are sitting there, like, their clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'd go, how's the guy on the wall talking to me?
Yeah, this is Chris's magic.
That's awesome.
How did I
awesome.
Miss
that? I'm so glad you worked there.
Wow. Yeah, I made a guy cry once.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I think.
Was that your last day?
He probably had. Yeah, well, I think he probably had his own stuff going on at the time.
Yeah, like, I think.
Don't go to Jekyll and Hyde after a funeral.
Yeah.
That's my advice to you.
That's probably not
good. Yeah.
Yeah, be in a good space before you head down to a place like that.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't recognize the name Rob Corddry, our guest in studio, Kevin mentioned The Daily Show, which I think probably where most people know you because of all the thousands of appearances you made with Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. But, of course, you're in the Harold and Kumar movie that's out right now. You were in Semi-Pro. You're going all the way back to old school with Will Ferrell, Blades of Glory. I mean, you're part of the posse that makes those very, very funny movies.
I'm a pledge, I think, still.
A
in
pledge
that fraternity.
Still?
Yeah.
You haven't been accepted?
I don't know. It's a long pledge period. You know?
Is it that long for everyone, or just does it seem to be
yes,
for you?
Everyone goes through like a 3 to 4 year pledge period.
I don't think that's
true. No, Rob, you didn't just me.
I think don't maybe tell him that.
It's like a 2 week thing for most of these guys.
I get spanked every day, too. Oh.
You didn't get to hang out with the bear that kills, though, did you, in Semi-Pro? Did you have any interaction with him?
Absolutely none whatsoever.
No, you weren't
and
in
that
scene.
Bear really killed, I just heard, right?
Yeah,
that
he
bear
did.
Yeah,
really
that's
killed.
What I'm saying. Hence the name, the bear
the
that kills.
Hilarious.
Nothing funnier,
what's
right?
What's funnier than a bear? A bear that kills.
That's correct. That is funnier.
Bears are, that's stupid to put a bear in a movie. They're like the sharks of the land.
They are, yeah.
They're unpredictable animals.
Yeah,
and
just
it
put
was
a dude in a suit.
A smell can send them off the deep. Just a smell.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it the
trainer's brother? Who was it?
Cousin,
was it?
I think.
Trainer's cousin. The guy that trained the bear. His
cousin. He was asking for it.
He needed it, right?
He was asking for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Clearly. He was an ass to do that.
So, Rob, when you were growing up, when you got into your teenage years, it became obvious, based on your matinee out of good looks, you had to be either a model or an actor. I mean, you were pretty limited. No one would take you seriously doing anything other than a showbiz job, right?
Too pretty for Wall Street.
Yeah, that was my understanding. And once I started to lose my hair, I was like, well, that sews it up. You know, I'm going to Hollywood.
That's what they look for.
Yeah.
Now, for you.
How did you get involved with Speed Racer? How did you become the lead character in that? Oh, that's not your movie. I'm sorry. What happens in Vegas? How did you get involved in that?
I was asked, and then I said, yes, please.
Excellent.
Basically, they said Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher are in it, and you'll work with them a lot. And I said, oh.
Okay.
But you're not at the point where you have to try out. You've done enough where they just bring you a new script and some grapes and fan you with a...
Right. Right. I had what's called a chemistry read for that movie to see if I had chemistry with Ashton, which I think is just a polite way of saying you're auditioning.
Right.
This movie.
But they don't want to call it that?
Yeah. I think maybe because I have good agents or something, they just want to be polite to a good agent or something.
A chemistry read. So then later, after you leave, he can go, I wasn't feeling that guy.
I just did not like him.
All right.
Now, explain your character and Ashton's character in the movie, then. Why is it important that you guys have chemistry together?
Well, I am...
Is there a love scene?
I'm the... Well, I... Go see the movie, everybody.
Yeah.
It does get a little steamy.
You marry him.
I could not keep my hands off that person.
He's pretty
what
good
a
looking.
Pretty man.
Yeah.
What a good looking man.
Yeah. Did he know you felt this way during the filming?
I think he got a vibe.
Yeah.
I think he's used to it, though.
Sure.
Everybody just wants to hold him. You know? And he's so firm and taut. I play his best friend. Hater, which is essentially a plot device. I'm there to provide exposition and to drive the second act.
Drive the second act.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, there's a ticking clock main character. Let's get to the denouement.
That's
my part.
Wow. It's pretty literal, but okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I like that.
But with jokes.
Is it, you would say the movie is funny?
I actually really like the movie. Yeah. It's great. It's really funny. And those two have, speaking of chemistry, it's like classic screwball comedy movie chemistry. It's really fun to watch.
And it's
You're getting Lisa Moyes talking about it like that, by the way. She's already thinking, ooh, I got to do something until Sex and the City comes out. I guess this is it.
This is my movie.
And it's all in Vegas, right? The whole thing was
No, actually, what happens in Vegas gets shot in New York, mostly.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we were in Vegas for 2 weeks. So the beginning of the movie happens in Vegas, and then it sort of unfolds in Brooklyn.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I got you. All right, we need to take a break. Rob Corddry is here. The movie is What Happens in Vegas. Are you still doing The Daily Show or not? You retired, but then you're back.
I'm alumni, and they always sort of welcome us back. It's definitely a nice little family I can go when I'm feeling sad.
But for the most part, unless you need to be held, they're on their own.
Yeah, unless I need a couple bucks, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. We'll be right.
That's a funny man and actor Rob Corddry in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock. I say as if there's a webcam and you can see him. The film is called What Happens in Vegas, and it opens up everywhere tomorrow. So, Rob, how do you like living out here? You're an East Coast guy, Boston dude, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I lived in New York for like the last 13 years or so. I like it. I have a two-year-old, so it's not a hard place to raise a kid, whereas New York definitely is.
Yeah. What do you miss most about the East Coast?
Oh, man.
Smell of pee?
Weather.
Smell of pee?
You miss
smell
weather?
Of pee? We got pee here. There's plenty of pee here, and smells like asparagus. I miss the pizza.
Yeah.
I miss the seasons.
Well, yeah, there's that.
There are a bunch of places in L.A. that advertise that they have New York-style pizza. Do any of them get it close to right? Have you found any place? Okay, what can you recommend?
Larchmont Village Pizzeria. That's
that
really, really solid. And that's about it, I think. There's a place in Silver Lake called Hard Times Pizza, which I just discovered. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Larchmont Pizza Village, it's called Village Pizzeria.
I don't know where that is.
It's on Larchmont.
I don't know where that is. I mean,
it's in Hancock Park.
Hancock Park.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Kevin, remember my old house that I lived on in Hancock Park?
Yes.
Remember that one? On
Rossmore?
It's like a two blocks over from that, almost directly at
Fantastic.
That same neighborhood.
And
it's a cool little neighborhood.
Yeah, it's as good as just a normal corner pizza place in New York.
In New York.
But a normal corner pizza place in New York is better than most places here.
In Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
When we go to New York for business, I'm telling you, we go to Ray's before we go to the hotel. We're so excited to be there.
Yep, absolutely. Which Ray's? The original,
all of them.
The original or the original famous? Or the...
I don't think we know the difference.
Yeah, they're all like... Yeah.
They're all the same, right?
One huge lawsuit.
Exactly. All right, so that's your pizza tip for the morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Good to know.
So what happens in Vegas opens up tomorrow. You are much in demand for all the roles that, you know, Costner and Gibson and guys like that turned down. Mm-hmm. What else is happening in 2008 for the great Rob Corddry?
What do you have? I'll do it.
I mean, what do you already know about?
I'll do it. Let's do it.
No, he's saying, do you have something?
Yes, I will do it. Stop begging me.
That's how his career goes.
I love cash.
So you're waiting for another audition.
Well, I've got, waiting for another chemistry read. No, I have a couple very small indie movies coming out. One called Patriotville with Justin Long and one called Lower Learning.
So, I love Justin Long.
Yeah.
Fun to work with.
He's not a computer.
What?
Right. That's just
he's
the
a norm. No, he's a person.
He's not a computer.
Yeah, he's not a computer. He's a normal person.
I think.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
No, I'm telling you, meet him. He's
I've
a person.
Seen him on TV. I know.
But he's playing
on
a computer. Okay. He's playing a computer.
Rob, do you have lots of showbiz famous showbiz friends that you hang out with now? Are you able to drop names when you call back home and go, oh yeah, so on the other day I'm at with the so and so.
You know, I just throw out names like they're like, oh my God, I was with Frank. Whatever.
Yeah, fill in the blank.
And people are like, oh, Frank must be somebody. Who does he mean? Who's Frank? IMDb Frank.
And they're impressed by that?
I hang out with my daughter and her friends.
Yeah, you got a little bit.
I don't have a lot of time for that. Yeah, that other much. Nonsense.
Or to do the things that we want you to do, apparently, even though you're begging to do them. Your life is full.
I will do it.
Like to point you to our Project Two Girls, One Cup. I think it is.
Are they recasting that?
I'm saying I think he would be good in the sequel.
Are they going to recast that?
In the sequel. It was so successful.
Yeah.
So successful.
But you say that, and someone who doesn't know anything about it is going to go, oh, I wonder what Kevin's talking about. Yeah. And they're really going to regret it. So please don't. Just ignore what you've just heard.
Right. Don't listen to that.
Rob, before you go... And it's awesome to see you, and it's awesome for Lisa to see you again.
Yeah,
but,
it's been a wonderful reunion.
Why don't you take about 30 seconds and speak directly to the movie-going public who's making their plans for the weekend, and you want them to go see What Happens in Vegas. Yeah. How are you going to talk them into it?
Hey, do you like Vegas? Do you like Ashton Kutcher?
There you go.
What else are you going to do? Seriously. Are you going to go see Speed Racer? Are you going to go see Iron Man for the third time? No.
Well, maybe for the second time.
Yeah, but you're going to go see Cameron Diaz in her underwear.
Oh, there you go.
The end.
Okay. Good to know.
Right. You should have led with that, dude. You kind of buried the lead a little bit. Cameron Diaz in the underwear, that's the start.
Rob, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, man.
Beastie Boys on the way. Also, The Offspring, Flowbots, and my porn name, The Paralyzer. We'll hear that song from Finger 11. It's all on the way. Plus your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2008. You have not missed the announcement because they are not on sale yet. But if you're a K-Rock Street Team member, you will know as soon as we do when they go on sale, which will be very soon because the show is a week from Saturday.
By the way, my porn name is Finger 11.
Oh, interesting how that worked out.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine.
Hey, Kevin Bean, guys, put me on the celebrity death pool. Put me in for Doc in about 2 weeks.
Wow. Does he know something about Doc's upcoming surgery that we don't?
No, I think he was listening this morning when we were playing the
The
open mouth segment.
We got to play that for you again in the 9 o'clock hour if you weren't with us first thing this morning, because Doc had a meltdown on the air over the weekend. You're not going to want to miss it.
Hey, Kevin, you know who played shortstop for the Dodgers last night?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
As a matter of fact.
I drink your milkshake. Ah!
Just got it.
Very timely.
Just got it.
I drink your milkshake.
Probably rented the movie because it finally came out.
And now she understands what all the fuss was about.
This is what we're talking about.
Ow! Okay, that's better. I was near the intersection of Highland and Franklin, and they got this big, gigantic picture of Sarah Jessica Parker coming up for the Sex and the City movie. I just had to gouge out my eyes. That feels much better now. Thank you.
Guys.
That, by the way, that should be illegal. That's a traffic hazard right there to put that where people can see it when they drive by. That's not even.
No!
She's fine. Look, that movie's not for you. It's for me.
We're not talking about the movie. We're talking about looking at Sarah Jessica Parker while you're trying to drive.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing that.
She ugly.
Only in certain lights.
No.
Other times, only she's quite, when the lights quite are attractive.
All right.
Hey, you weren't able to get to me earlier about favorite couple song, but this is mine. How great is male ass?
We did miss
that.
That
is a good
one.
Discussion.
Hey, I went to the opening of the Grove in Glendale this weekend. Glendale? And man, there are a lot of Armenians there. I'm walking around, and all I hear is,
So give a good dish of a duck. Brown ham. Never, bro. Brown ham. Meshaka vach never the show. Back at never dos, never kaidesh the boss.
I don't know what any of that means, but I guess it's good.
This is that that new shopping center, I guess, built by the same guy that built the Grove and made that such a success in Los Angeles. This is out in downtown Glendale, and it's called the Americana. Is that right, Mike?
Yep.
Americana, and it's just enormous. I mean, it's acres and acres and acres of new stores, and it's been very popular. Just had the grand opening a few days ago.
A big vagina.
It's not even a little bit annoying.
Not impressive.
Comes back around, though, right? How's he still doing it?
It is impressive.
Those are some lungs.
Yes, those
are. That's a Tila Tequila fan. That's what the reference there is all about.
A pig's vagina. She was very excited to have people eat a pig's vagina. Ugh. Yeah, not making that up. Remember the story about
butt hash?
Remember that one?
Yes. Sure.
Kids are getting high with that.
Yeah.
We got a text to landline.
Has sent a text to landline message to you. Dude, I just scored some killer butt hash. My dad had a colonoscopy. I am going to be the most popular kid in school.
I don't think my dad has had a colonoscopy, and I'm going to be the most popular kid in school have ever been said that closely together.
You're right.
But congratulations. Ralph, you're not working turntables.
I am. I'm on the ones, too.
But there's no one. There's no two.
There were both one and two.
All right.
It's 8:50 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KRQ. That, of course, is the B.
D.
Boys, right. Thank you. Rough. And your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2008 are coming up. First, Ralph Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on?
Interesting movie casting news. By now you may have heard that they're making the fourth Terminator film starring a young man named Christian Bale.
Is that a good idea, a new Terminator movie?
Nope.
Interested in that at all? Or
I don't know. It may be because there is some ground left to travel in this series, because now they're going to show the grown-up John Connor as he battles the machines and becomes the savior of the human race.
I think if that's done
which
well,
which was always done in flashback form or flash forward form in the regular series, when you always see young John Connor and
I think
his
that'd be
mom.
Good.
Okay. So yeah, if they have a strong enough story, I think it certainly could support it.
Plus the TV show, The Terminator, was
right
on this whole season,
and that's good stuff too. Looks like Common will co-star with Christian Bale. He will play a freedom fighter in his battle against the machines named Barnes.
Barnes.
Yes. They better cast somebody and call him Noble, or else I would be bummed. How great would that be? Barnes and Noble! Get over here!
They're both reading books, you know?
I don't think that's what they're looking for.
That'd be funny!
It would be.
They're reading books!
I don't think that's the comedy
when they should be fighting!
I get it.
You don't get it.
I get it.
It's funny.
It is funny.
Barnes and Noble. See? Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday.
Suckers.
Everybody get something good for your mom?
She gets me.
That is the worst gift ever.
Wow. That's what she wants.
You might as well just get her a star with her name on it or something. Because
my presents.
That level of gift.
My mom loves me.
By the way, I don't know if you've heard, but the star people, the people who name a star after you as a gift.
Yeah.
They've sweetened the pot.
No.
They've improved the package.
Because I've barely been able to avoid that.
Now you get a silver necklace or bracelet with a little charm on it that has the coordinates of the star engraved on it.
Ooh.
So if you're ever walking around, you say, where's my star in? You just look at your bracelet and say, oh, that's right. I'm at this quadrant of the sky.
Does it cost more?
I believe it's a little bit of a bump, but it's well worth
it. Yeah, that's impossible to
turn
down.
Well worth it. It's but like, you know, it's like the life alert bracelet. You know, when you're allergic to penicillin or something, you're unconscious, they can read it. Now they can find out where your star is when you're unconscious.
Ralph, they've added the bracelet, but you know what they haven't added?
What's
the
that
organization
mean?
Having the ability to actually name stars.
Man, you're so picky.
The actual
they
star.
That. Right.
Katie Holmes is reportedly going through intense Scientology training.
Oh, no. Is she on the boat?
Apparently, she's a shabby Scientologist. So they have to help her remember what it means to be a psychologist.
Whip her into shape.
Yes. She wanted to go to New York, apparently, to go star on Broadway without husband Tom Cruise. She wanted to leave the family for a while.
That's not acceptable?
That is unacceptable. So now she's being retrained in the ways of the church. According to Star Magazine, she had to write down every bad thing she had ever done in her life. Then the church takes the list away, and then they lock it away in their vaults.
So they have blackmail on you?
Yes, but that's not how they present it. They say if you confess all your sins,
really?
We can keep them for you, and then you're relieved of the burden of carrying those around, you see?
I thought you would, like, burn them or something.
It's like confession in the Catholic religion.
But they don't keep a record of it.
Only there's paperwork.
I mean, come on.
It's in triplicate, and it's in your dossier.
And they got it. Yeah.
That's not good.
What are your crimes, man? What are your crimes? That's what I want to know.
Did you guys see Tom Cruise on Oprah?
Mm-mm. No, sir, I did not.
My wife is a hardcore Oprah watcher, so she said, Tom Cruise on, so we watch. He repudiated everything he's ever said in his life.
You're kidding.
Nobody should make a judgment on what your kids should have, psychiatry drugs.
What?
And I said it poorly. I believe in God, just like everyone else, and all Scientologists do. And pretty much right down the line, the opposite of everything he said in the last 3 years.
Wow.
Liar.
That's weird. Completely distant. Oh, no. I didn't. You know, everybody can make up their own mind as far as psychiatric drugs and stuff
but
like that.
But hold on a sec. Scientology has a museum in Hollywood that calls psychiatry the industry of death.
Yes.
How can he be swimming away from that?
That's his own people. He misspoke. Apparently, he has gotten himself another new PR agent who finally said, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So,
be less crazy.
He's backing off all
of it. You
know
how crazy usually are? Be less of that.
It's not for us to tell other people what to believe either. We don't want other
what
people
about
to
the
be...
SPs?
No. Everybody's fine with what they believe. He has no interest in...
Oh, you are a suppressive person.
That's what he was doing.
But you know what? I think this image thing is working. He hasn't been crazy in a while. And Ralph, I know you saw the story this week that he's back in for Mission Impossible 4. So, I mean, his career is starting to bounce back a little bit as he is less crazy.
Well, he's learning a hard lesson then because he's backing off on everything he ever said.
His career's bouncing back until they release the Eye Patch Nazi movie.
Well, and if it ever comes out.
It'll all go right back where it started from.
Eye Patch. That's going to be the best ever.
Dude, he's a Nazi in an eye patch.
That'll come out when Jerry Lewis's Nazi clown movie comes out. I think both of those are going to be in a vault somewhere.
That I want to see. Anyway, about Mother's Day, as we were talking about half an hour ago. Screensavers.com, which is a showbiz website, has released the list of the top 10 hottest moms in show business. Hottest moms.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Well, a few names come to mind. Let's see what you got.
Number 10, Madonna.
Nope.
No.
That's a hot mom?
Not hot.
Yes, Liz. I think
hot mom, not hot mom. All right. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay.
I think we're ruling no on that one.
Number 9, Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Apparently, she's busting up with her husband, by the way.
No.
That's right. That was not a long-lived marriage.
Her husband, Royston Langston.
Yeah.
That's his name?
Royston.
Something like that.
Constant.
Number 8, Shania Twain. Yeah.
Yes.
Number 7, Nicole Kidman.
Sure.
Number 6, Marge Simpson. Why do they always do this with the mother list? Even as a cartoon, she's not hot.
No.
Not at all.
I would neff her with a cartoon penis. That's what I'm telling you.
I might with a cartoon penis.
Cartoon penis, by the way, on the side stage.
That's a great name.
We're playing right after Nutty for Uma.
Number 5, Monica Bellucci.
Sure.
Yes.
Mamma Mia. That's a spicy meatball.
Yes, it is.
Britney Spears, number 4.
No. Come on. Come on. Really?
Are you saying no?
Come on.
There's a tie at number 2 between Pamela Anderson and Angelina Jolie.
And right behind them is Britney Spears. Really?
Yep.
Pam Anderson?
I thought we had to talk about that.
That's why I played
that clip.
Who's number 1?
Number 1?
I mean, if Angelina and Pam are tied for 2 and 3, who's number 1?
Heidi Klum.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Heidi Klum.
I mean, pretty hot. Let's face it.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Heidi Klum.
Where's
Sophia Vergara?
Waldo?
Sofia Vergara, for one, A.
Is she a mom? Oh, yeah, she's got like a teenager.
16-year-old.
Yeah, that's right.
And Heather Locklear.
Yeah, that's true.
Take Madonna and Marge Simpson, kill them, throw Locklear on the list.
I think
Halle Berry,
Witherspoon,
by the way.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Not Reese Witherspoon, for God's sake.
What about Halle Berry, though?
I'm sorry, did you say Reese Witherspoon?
She did. I think she's really cute.
But this isn't the fathers, though. This is the hottest mom.
That's
well,
right.
There's a few people she could certainly replace on that list.
But if I was going to replace people on this list, I wouldn't pick Reese Witherspoon to replace them
I think
with.
She's attractive.
Oh, Lisa.
As a dude.
Lisa. She's not
Pam
a dude.
Pam Anderson.
Pam Anderson. Pam Anderson. Pam Anderson. Pam Anderson.
And lastly, sad news this week.
Is it, Ralph? Is it really sad? Or is it an excuse for you to do another ice cream joke?
No, it's not.
Robbins of Baskin and Robbins passed away.
You know, no.
He was a local, lived here in Los Angeles.
Didn't know that.
Mr. Robbins did.
I didn't know there was a Baskin or a Robbins.
It says here in the story that his name was Irvine Robson, Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering whether it was Irving Robbins. Doesn't that sound more likely?
Because
you know sometimes
sure
the service that gives us the story, sometimes they have...
F and shaky.
Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Robbins was 90 years old when he passed away this week. Apparently he started up the business by cashing in his insurance policy. Well, it seems like a bad idea now. Oh, he's dead. Some people are going to use that money.
Yeah, sure could have used that.
But maybe he got another one.
It is Irvine, Ralph. I did look it up.
Is it Irvine
his
Robbins?
His name is Irvine, yeah.
He started the business with his brother-in-law, Burton Baskin. And, mm-hmm, of course, a legend was born. Baskin Robbins Ice Cream. Now you can find it all over the Southland and all over the country and all over the world, for that matter.
Sure.
To celebrate the passing of their founder. They've broken out some new flavors.
They're really celebrating,
yeah,
his death?
I don't know if I mentioned that earlier in the show.
No.
But several new flavors, of course. Cookies and Cremation, we talked about that
sure
one. Obituary. As well. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Mocha Morgue, of course, mm-hmm, you can still find that.
Right.
And now Almondtopsy.
Oh! Wow.
Almondtopsy.
That does not sound tasty at all. I don't think I want to have any of that.
That's the best ice cream ever. You can taste some of that. So be careful for that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Enrique Iglesias is 33 years old today. Melissa Gilbert turns 44. She, of course, was on Little House on the Prairie for so many years. I had a thing for her sister. Remember Mary?
Yeah.
Mary Ingalls?
Oh, there was something about Mary.
Yeah, there was. And then she went blind, which is even better.
Why is that better?
She'd be all wandering around the prairie. Not knowing where she was, and you could just, like, dangle your whatnot in front of her, and she'd,
thank
like,
God,
accidentally brush up against it because she couldn't see it coming.
That's what happened in the show?
No, but you could do that.
Yeah.
Because she was blind.
It seemed like you could get away with a lot if you had a blind chick.
That's what I'm saying!
Yeah.
Thank God.
Drummer Alex Van Halen of the band Van Halen is 55 years old today, and comedian Don Rickles celebrates his 82nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do is 1-800-520-1067. Get in the air, get a prize today. It's a good one. How about a day at Six Flags Magic Mountain? How about a chance to ride the X2 the day before it opens to the public? May 23rd. You'll ride it, and then you'll call us and tell us how it is. That's what you get for being on the air this morning.
All right, let's begin with Christopher, who is calling from North Hills. Good morning, Christopher.
Hey, what it do, party people?
What it do, Chris?
What's happening?
Hey, how about them Lakers?
You know? How about them Lakers?
Lakers!
Sing it if you know it.
Lakers!
It got close for a minute in the third quarter, but otherwise the Lakers made it look pretty easy, didn't they, Chris?
Yeah, they did, and Kobe MVP is about goddamn
finally
time.
That's what I'm saying. It's about time.
Isn't that shocking with the career he's had that he's never been the league MVP before?
It's because of that Colorado incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he had a lot of great years before the Colorado incident and never won it either.
Yeah, they were not that good team anyways.
But what do you mean they weren't that good?
Well, they always got out the first round.
What are you talking about?
Kobe
won championships with the Lakers back-to-back years and wasn't the league MVP for the season. I'm saying it's remarkable that this is the first year he's ever won that honor.
Yeah, but it was Shaq's team at first.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it. Christopher is upset, by the way, that people still ask the question, should he be MVP? Let's just put that to rest now. And then we tried to say that, and he's like, nope.
That's what we're saying. It's crazy.
All right, let's go to Patrick, who is calling from Riverside. Good morning, Patrick. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, guys? How's it going,
Lisa? Hi, Patrick.
What's going on?
Hey, did you guys see Kobe's wife, what she was wearing at the award ceremony?
Yeah.
What was she wearing?
It was awful. I mean, she had like a ballerina skirt on. She had a Leatherman, like an all-star Western Conference jacket. And she had this FB hair going on. It was ugly.
I agree. It was a weak sauce. And she clearly put on that jacket at the request of the NBA when she got there.
Yeah.
Which I understand, which kind of rude. But then I was like, okay, I'll cut you some slack. And then I saw underneath she had like literally like a ballerina dress with like a pashmina. It was weak sauce.
It was embarrassing. You think you tell her to put on a nice dress on and a nice classy skirt or something, you know. Yeah. It was ugly.
How old is Vanessa now, by the way?
She has to be, like, I think his age, because didn't they meet, like, when he was, like, playing on the basketball court?
She was a lot younger than him. I was thinking she was, like, 24 or something by now, or 25 or something like that, is all.
It's a good estimate, because he was in his early 20s when she was 18, so.
Yeah, he needs to trade up anyway at this point, let's face it.
Yeah, I mean,
don't you think that having to buy the big ring because of the thing, don't you think that's so far in the past now that he can legitimately get out of it and move on? I think so.
You need to go back to Colorado.
Make that happen again.
Too expensive, dude.
Let's see. Let's go to Michael, who is calling us from Chino. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning. What it do, guys?
What it do?
What it do, Michael?
Well, I had my first and best flight ever home from Vegas on Sunday.
Okay.
Okay.
And there was, like, dancers, strippers. I mean, I got shown breast, cleavage, I mean, you name it, it was there.
It was awesome. It was a wild party plane that had a lot of strippers on it. It was not the stripper flight, though, was it?
I don't think it was a stripper flight, but those few strippers that were there, they were just like, I mean, I was telling them I just turned 21, and they were just like so happy. They're like, oh, 21, all right. Hey, girl, show them some breasts. And I was just like, no way.
All right, then, good times. That's the good thing. You can go anytime on Friday, anytime on Sunday, back and forth to Vegas, and there's probably two strippers per plane, at least.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal right there. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Awesome.
You know, I guess he wasn't flying Southwest if they let him show boob, because you know how they are on Southwest, man. They kick you off if you look too good.
That's true.
I got no time for hotness with Southwest, that's for sure.
Let's go to Nigel in Glendale. Good morning, Nigel.
Hi, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Nigel.
Bean, you're done. You are not ever allowed to talk about the Dodgers again.
What? What are you talking about?
Talk about the Dodgers. What does that mean?
There was a major loss yesterday due to you talking about their winning streak and the Mariners losing to the Texas Rangers the day before.
Right.
Yeah, and I think jinxed the Dodgers.
So I don't think really that is true, although I will say you could argue that our own DJ Omar Khan, who was out in front of Dodger Stadium before the game yesterday playing music for the tailgaters, it was the first game he's gone to this year, and they lost and lost badly. I think maybe you ought to be looking in Omar's direction.
I think so as well.
So we're going to blame Omar for this?
Yes.
I think so.
Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
That's what we're saying.
DJ Omar Khan.
That's what we're saying.
Let's do one more. I want to find out what Dan in Anaheim is on about here. Dan, what it do, nephew? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hi, Dan.
I have a theory about Jason Castro. He is the long-lost son of Fidel.
Oh, the dude on American Idol?
Yes.
Why would you say something so stupid? Just because they both have the last name Castro?
He's got dreadlocks. And where are dreadlocks from? The Caribbean. He's got a tan. And he's trying to destroy America.
You pretty much got it locked in.
He's worked this one through.
Well, I didn't realize you had that much evidence to back your claim. I'm now with you. That's an excellent theory, sir. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. I want to thank our special guest, Emil Hirsch, for joining us today. He, of course, is Speed Racer. The movie opens up everywhere tomorrow. Please go see that. Also, tonight at 10 o'clock on Channel 7, it's a new episode of Lost. Thanks to the executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse for joining us. And thanks to actor Rob Corddry. His movie is called What Happens in Vegas. That opens up tomorrow as well. So don't go see Speed Racer. Instead, go see Rob's movie. I think everybody's happy now.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Beer Mug is going to bring yet another Guinness record to its knees.
As he
continues to rip his way through the book and destroy record after record after record.
Unbelievable.
Recapping for you now, on Monday at the Cinco de Mayo broadcast, he was going for a world record that would have required him to eat 48 soft chicken tacos in 11 minutes, right?
Yes.
How many did he eat in 11 minutes, ladies and gentlemen?
Four and a half?
Eight. He had eight.
He was working on his eight.
Eight.
He was working
really?
On his eight.
Yes.
But
the record
48.
Is 48. He had eight. He was 40 shy of the record. So how do we think he's going to do tomorrow?
Perfectly well.
Hey, guys. Okay. It's Beer Mug, and I realized something. I am terrible at...
life when I'm sober. Sobriety is my kryptonite.
This is a mess.
Yeah. I do believe in you. I just know you're going to fail.
Exactly. Maybe that's the problem. Omar just said in my headphones, maybe he needs to be drunk.
We haven't tried that.
When he tries the record. Oh, maybe he'd destroy then.
Maybe. Maybe so.
Also, oh, that's right. He was drinking on Monday. That doesn't help. Movie beat tomorrow because it's Friday. Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, is going to be here tomorrow.
You have AIDS. Yes, you have AIDS. I hate to tell you, boy, that you have AIDS.
You got the AIDS.
You may have caught it when you stuck that filthy needle in here.
Take it up,
you
know.
Or maybe all that unprotected sex put you here.
It isn't clear, but what we're certain of is you have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS. Be sure that you see that this is not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
I'm sorry, I wish it was something less serious.
You've got the AIDS.
Wouldn't the world be a better place if all bad news was delivered by Barbershop Quartet?
Yes, it would.
A vasectomy is a medical procedure, one that makes you half a man.
You're half a man.
Remember when you twisted up your garden hose? Well, essentially, that is the plan. That is the plan.
Well, I'm starting to get the picture, but how's it done?
You make a small incision in the scrotal skin. Isolate the vas and then. Isolate the vas and then you hold it in position with a towel clamp. Then you snip the fibrous tissue.
Then you snip the fibrous tissue.
Hey, you'll never have to wear a condom when you do it with your wife or anyone else you do it with. We promise not to tell, like that new hot chick at work. You know the one who always has high beams under a ribbed white cotton t-shirt, but then stares daggers at you for checking her out. And it's like, why do you wear that if you don't want attention? But you know you shouldn't think that way because of the sexual harassment meeting you all had to go to.
Right.
Seriously, how lame was that? And you couldn't help but notice that the female lawyer running the seminar had a huge rack. Like, ridiculously huge for someone who has to talk about that kind of stuff. Well, I guess that's the definition of the word irony. Goodbye. Say goodbye to manhood.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye to babies.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye to kids like Meg.
Vacuum out your sack.
It's just the best show on TV. That's all.
They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you want to take a piss.
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly kiss.
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
So Seth MacFarlane tomorrow, I think, is what we're talking about. That's the message here.
That's a good show. And tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2008 tomorrow morning.
You could also win those coming up next with Kat Corbett and her 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including Foo Fighters. Also, Raconteurs, Bad Religion, Jack Johnson, Bush and more after this on K-Rock.